want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Wildcard caller in Virginia, welcome to Coast, you're on with my guest, Dr. David. Go ahead.
George.
Yes, sir.
I got to hand it to you for being able to follow part of this conversation. Some of it is just going right through me, over my head. I have a question about time travel.
Okay.
And let's say your guest and I, he and I both got in the same time machine. We went into the past by, say, 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Met ourselves, grabbed a hold of ourselves, brought ourselves forward into the future. Now, all four of us are standing right here, right now. Since we are right here, right now, would the four of us still be able to listen to the Don and Mike Show?
Well, if you do that, you grab yourself and...
thank you.
By
Now, there's a time traveler who left his brain behind.
Well, you're taking yourself... Oh, whoops, my phone fell off.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I'm not good at making choices, so you'll certainly get no help from me.
Where to solve this piece of sh**?
Well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. Not on camera now. Where in Philadelphia, at Franklin Field, the score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
That night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Don.
You like Grandma Glade?
Hey, you bless it, I'll eat it.
She's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think.
So what, no f***ing beating now?
Hey!
Don and Mike, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go. But I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing Didi. Because, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
Ha ha! Take the boy! Take the boy! Not me! I'm too young to die. Oh, the pain, the pain.
Ha ha.
I'm sorry, I can't do it. Not over there. And if I know our president, he's not going to allow me or himself to get shot down over what would have been a private sexual encounter.
Some swan song for the old man, huh?
The senator got a little wild when she was 19. What was the big deal?
Well, let me explain the big deal to you. The people of this nation can stomach quite a bit. The one thing they can't stomach is the image of a vice president with a mouth full of...
What?
Let's use the word.
They got photos. They got witnesses. They got the alleged slut.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm a husband first.
Ha-ha!
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Father. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Here they are.
No.
Hey.
Members of the Michael Savage fan club.
Here they go.
And you know who else likes that disc jockey show?
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Me, I'd never heard of the guy till yesterday, but...
Oh,
no, not him. I've known him a long time.
Mark my words. My man, MS, he'll land on his feet.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Savage and all the ships at sea. They are occasional a-holes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. And hi, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show a new episode on this Tuesday, July 8th. Phone number from anywhere in America. Oh, Don and Mike Broadcast Network on WJFK FM Washington, live 105.7 FM Baltimore, 94 WISP Philadelphia, 96 Rock Ocean City, KCJJ in Iowa City, and WBUF FM in Buffalo. If I didn't mention your station, you can call anyway.
Sure.
877-365-3636. That's the national number. From Canada.
Yay!
Call 800-636-1067. And from Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi there.
We're still arguing over Canada.
I got something to say to both of you guys. You
just... Shut up!
Both of you.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know.
Is anyone missing?
Oh, obviously.
Someone called for a doctor?
There you go. That's tighter than a nonit, ladies and gentlemen.
You see, we're on in Buffalo now.
Right.
And so I'd like to say hi to all my Canadian brothers. Rob doesn't feel the same way.
Make the show super tight for the first couple of days we're on in Buffalo. So, listen, here's the, and once the first couple of days pass,
it'll just be
a sloppy mess.
Don't worry about it. Well, you know, we have a lot of people in Buffalo that probably remember this show. I mean, we had a following up there.
Okay, before we get to
what happened, what are you reading on your computer?
No, I'm looking at
you were distracted in the first 10 seconds of the show.
I really do love this job, and I thank God every day I get to do something I love. I'll tell you what I don't love is just looking at the screen, seeing the first call that Dumb Joe has screened is a guy who wants to complain. We've been on
Joe.
Exactly 8 minutes. Here is Steve in Salt Lake City. Dude, what is your problem?
You guys have to know you're going to get some calls about this today. As soon as you guys went off the air, I'm sure you awarded $1,000 to somebody from WJFK. Left us all out here.
Are you talking about the end of yesterday's show?
Let me
explain something to you. When we started the contest at the end of yesterday's show,
we tried to give that money
away. We had 6 minutes of time on our network.
Normally plenty.
We took, I don't know, what, 6, 7, 8, 9 phone calls
from
people.
We took a bunch, and everybody was doing the same thing. Hemming, hawing, not really listening, and they couldn't answer. We were trying to give
guys,
them...
Guys, I had the answers to every single one of those questions.
Let me just explain to anyone who wasn't listening to the end of the show yesterday, and you didn't miss much, because it was just a wreck of the worst possible
scope. A wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
What it was we had been on vacation for a couple of weeks, so we said, listen, and we're going to ask trivia question. At the end of the show, we get back, and we can give away $1,000. Well, we started at about 10 till 7, and I figured we'd get a winner right away. Well, no, and you're calling from Salt Lake, and you're upset because they took us off, you know, after our time ran out. Well, you should know that yesterday we stayed on WJFK and I think Live 105 in Baltimore and a couple other stations. We didn't get a winner until 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
It was insane.
Yeah. Okay? So it's not like as soon as we signed off in Salt Lake City.
I would have loved to have the first caller.
be a caller from Salt Lake City and have answered that correctly. Now your indication that it was probably a winner from Washington, D.C.
It seems like you guys are just bitter about all the affiliates. You're not getting paid. And so
that's true.
Show us what's up.
That's very true. But we really do not plan on punishing listeners for that.
No.
The rash of idiocy that made through. You know, Don asked the same question three times. Gave the answer three times.
The question about Ahmad Rashad, who dropped the S-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
We gave the answer. I asked it two more times, and two guys didn't know it.
Even then.
So people that were trying to play the game weren't even paying attention to the actual contest itself.
And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but certainly before we went on vacation and since we've come back, we ain't bitching about our syndication deal. You're the one that brought it up. We're not.
Right.
But you're angry because you wanted to win the money.
I'm angry because those idiots didn't know much. They had all the answers.
Now, when you listened yesterday, before they cut us off, did it not sound like I was angry at those people, too?
Yeah, you guys totally were.
Yeah.
You know what you guys should do? Ask me your question, and I'll answer it and give you
the Charlie, do you have the questions from yesterday? Ask our producer, Charles Broyhill, if he still has got the questions, and we'll see if this dummy can get one right.
They were tough.
Hold on, I have someone else from Utah who wants to tell you you're a moron. You know, welcome to the show. I had a whole thing planned here. Hi, did you throw those away?
We did get rid of them, but I think Lisa still remembers some of the questions.
Oh, Lisa, come on in here then, if you wouldn't mind, please. Mrs. Broyhill.
Mrs. Charles Broyhill, please. Enter
and congrats,
sign
Charles.
She's in another part of the building. I'm going to have to go get her.
You stop that. Hey, you stop. Charlie, watch it. Hello, who's this? Steve in Utah?
Yeah, this is Steve in Utah. I had to move out here from Baltimore, and it's been cursed in Salt Lake City. I want to tell the other Steve to shut up, or we're going to lose you guys completely if he keeps talking smack, and I don't want to see that happen because I love you guys. You're the only thing that reminds me of home, and I don't want to lose you guys.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, my friend.
Well, Lisa, I can't disagree with him.
Do you remember one of the questions from yesterday?
Yeah, the one that was the winner was on Let's Call a Celebrity, what celebrity dropped the S-bomb?
Well, no, that was the one I gave the answer to. Ask him another one, though.
Mm-hmm. The pressure.
I mean, I didn't know the answers to any of the questions yet.
There was, Don and Mike talked to a doughy-headed intern at the front desk named Wes. Who did he ask out on a date who turned him down?
Oh, that's when we never read on the air yesterday.
Who did Wes ask out?
Yeah.
You want the name?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're doing what everybody else did. Uh-huh. Ask.
You're just
and you had a strong.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what.
No, I will tell you what.
No, you tell
you
us.
Destroyed you your credibility. You incredible Salt Lake hump.
Tell you why she turned him down.
No, tell us her name because that was the whole point yesterday.
It's tell
our
me
question.
Name.
Your name is Christine Kerner. You're a big loser.
Goodbye.
After all that, how dare you, sir?
This was my favorite one. How old was the Navy seaman that Homo Joe hooked up with?
Oh, 37.
Absolutely.
I saw the answer, though.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Wow.
You know what's great about the Salt Lake guy? Carrying on the tradition of yesterday, he was really delighted that he didn't get it.
Right. Oh.
Same as who knows?
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yo, Don and Mike. How's it going?
Howdy.
Hey, I don't know what that douchebag in Salt Lake said. We got the entire show, including the extra minutes up here in Spokane.
In Spokane. Well, see, that's how you that's, you know, I guess that's a good station in Spokane we got there. Don and Mike, hello.
And this is Dave in Las Vegas, and we also have a wonderful station that kept you on until
Vegas,
the door closed.
Oh, Vegas, that rocks.
Yeah.
Las Vegas rocks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vegas.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
See you in August.
Bye-bye. Is that vacation time?
I don't know, man. I might be going.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah,
I heard this morning on some news program that Michael Savage was going to sue you guys over losing the job at MSNBC.
Thank you. Now, we're finally going to get to the issue at hand.
On track.
Now, thank you for bringing that up. And if Michael Savage...
It said that the guy said that... I guess Michael Savage was complaining that you put some guy up to call him and make him look bad.
Thank you. Thank you for opening this can of worms up, and now we will deal with it. I hope everybody in the industry is listening now, especially lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Up until yesterday at about 5:30, I'd never heard of Michael Savage.
I had not either.
We have never uttered the name Michael Savage on our show. There are a bunch of guys out there who listen to our show and call TV shows And there's that one guy that burps.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the other guy that calls Larry King all the time, that great tape where he calls Larry King and says, you're wearing really nice suspenders tonight.
Yeah, and then, you know, they're all over the place.
But
and
we don't employ them. Mm-hmm. We don't ask them to do it. It's something that these guys do. So one of these guys that listens to our show called this disc jockey, who, again, I'm going to state emphatically, until yesterday we had never heard of and had never spoken a word about.
Yesterday was the first time that guy, to my knowledge, had been mentioned on the show.
So, somebody who listens to our show, who, Michael Savage, we did not hire and did not ask to call your MSNBC show, of which we did not even know existed.
I had no knowledge that show existed.
We didn't even know that Michael Savage, whoever he is, existed. But before we get to the S-storm that's happened today, here is the tape from over the weekend on MSNBC.
I haven't heard this yet, and I'm looking forward to it.
I haven't heard it either. I've seen transcripts. Apparently the guy says something, the caller says something about us, and then this guy, Michael Savage, goes nuts and makes all these comments that he's now having to backpedal for. So here is the tape where the guy, not affiliated with our show,
right,
calls up and mentions our names, and then listen to this guy just go into a tailspin.
All right.
Until the next time on Unsavage Airways, this is Michael Savage. Let's go to a caller. If you have an airline horror story, give me a ring right here on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Did you have a worse case than this one?
Hey, Michael Savage. Pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah.
I was flying out of LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And there's two undercover security guards.
Yeah.
Somebody was smoking in the bathroom.
Someone was smoking in the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
Okay. And what happened?
Half hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... because your teeth are real
all
bad.
All right, all right. So you're one of those sodomites.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a sodomite?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that?
Oh.
Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to put me down, you piece of garbage? You got nothing to do today? Go eat a sausage and choke on it. Get trichinosis. Okay, we have another nice caller here who's busy because he didn't have a nice night in the bathhouse, is angry at me today. Huh? Get me another one. Put another sodomite on. No more calls, I don't care. Let's go to the next scene. I don't care about these bums. They mean nothing to me. They're all sausages. Next scene. On to the next scene on the Savage Nation.
So, you hear the guy is incredibly talented.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could make out what was said there, but here's, I'm going to give you the transcript. Let me see. The guy calls up, as you heard, with this, about the thing about the airplane. And he says, half an hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... And I can, and they turned the caller off. I can only... Well, now we can re-listen to it. I think the guy would say something like, take your job.
Yeah, I was take your spot or something. I mean, that's what it is. And then he gets dumped, and then...
And then...
And then after... I mean, it sounds like... You know, it doesn't sound like he was dumped. It sounds like somebody turned the volume down on the caller and then brought it back up again.
So, a half an hour flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your dot, dot, dot. The caller was saying when a fast-thinking MSNBC producer cut him off. Michael Savage did respond. So you're one of those sodomists. Are you a sodomite? Caller. Yes, I am. Savage. Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that? Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to put me down, you piece of garbage. You have nothing to do today. Go eat a sausage and choke on it. So, that happened yesterday. This is what pissed me off today, and Mike and just about everybody involved with our company. This guy's doing an incredible spin control campaign now.
Sure.
Now, again, before I tell you how this guy's trying to blame us for this.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to it again. Listen to it in context. Hear what the guy who was not put up by us.
Right.
Hear what he says, and then listen to the reaction from this jerk off. Listen to this.
Until the next time on Unsavage Airways, this is Michael Savage. Let's go to a caller. If you have an airline horror story, give me a ring right here on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Did you have a worse case than this one?
Hey, Michael Savage. Pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah.
I was flying out of LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And, there's two undercover security guards.
Yeah.
Somebody was smoking in the bathroom.
Someone was smoking in the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
Okay. And what happened?
Half hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... Because your teeth are real
bad. All right, all right. So you're one of those sodomites.
Yeah.
Are you a sodomite?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that?
Oh.
Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to put...
So you heard it. The guy needs low rent. So all of that happens, and then as it turns out, he gets fired from this show on MSNBC. And
right.
I've done some research on this guy, being as now he's... Then I'll tell you why in a second, because he's talking about Mike.
Is that his regular shtick that he puts down the gay community? Is that what he does?
Well, I've seen him written about in more than one publication that he's a homophobe.
Been described as a conservative in the press.
And a homophobe. So I'm reading this, and then I laughed at first. I said, well, so somebody crank called the disc jockey I never heard of, and the guy got mad. Well, he got fired. And he's put out a giant apology on his website. I read it to Mike today.
Oh, I was laughing out loud.
And we laughed. But now here's the thing that is just a pisser. This is from Radio and Records, which is the industry newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Let me see. Michael Savage apologizes after MSNBC fires him for anti-gay tirade. At the top of his radio show yesterday, Savage said the incident was misrepresented. And that he was set up by a crank caller from a competing talk show, Westwood One's Don and Mike, who Savage said have made vicious personal attacks against me.
Save that one.
Yeah. Now.
Save that one.
Now, listen, I understand when you get in trouble and you say something stupid and you got to spin and you got to apologize.
We've done it.
But listen, Savage. Whatever your name is. Until yesterday, you were off our radar screens. We had no idea who you were. We didn't care who you were. We care who you are now because you're talking in the press saying that
we set you up with this caller, and that is not true.
Which we did not. And second, the funniest part, he says we've made vicious personal attacks against him.
That is not true.
Okay?
Anybody who listens to this show knows the truth, which is yesterday is the first time that name was mentioned on this show.
And I've had more than one person say to me, and I don't disagree with it, well, hey, it's great publicity. Yeah, it's great publicity for us, except we're being lumped into a conversation where this guy is talking about sodomy, AIDS, a guy who just got fired. Somehow, we're being lumped into the story. And yesterday, I really didn't care because I just, it's just one of the idiots that listens to our show. But now this guy, Michael Savage, has apparently thought, hold on, I'm going to spin this and say that it's Don and Mike who put the guy up to it, and Don and Mike have made vicious attacks against me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to get all the facts laid out because, you know, there's this little gray area between this guy saying this, and then you'll hear him say the caller made a vicious personal attack, and I want to find out what's going on here and get all the facts laid out on the table. And now the fact is when a caller says he's talking about suing us, incidentally, bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on, please. Our lawyer is Donald Ephraim in Chicago, and our corporate lawyer is Steve Lerman at Infinity Broadcasting in Washington, D.C.
It has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? If that happens, countersuit.
Now,
anyway, there's a lot of this spin going on. There's a lot of this coverage. Anytime a DJ steps on it, the press goes into a bit of a feeding frenzy. And, you know, I'd like to know what the real deal is here. And he ought to be better advised before he's making comments about us making vicious personal attacks. Well, we didn't mention that guy's name until yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Hold on. I'm looking at everything. I mean, I'm looking at DCR-TV, which quotes Radio and Records, which is what most people in the radio industry look at,
right.
Which, again, says he's a serial crank caller at Savage on his Monday show. Don and Mike have made various vicious personal attacks against me. Here you go. Here's his apology. What happened on the air is much different than what is being reported. I was in the midst of an airline horror story segment with a great set. Out of nowhere, a crank caller from a competitive talk show went on describing his airline horror story to make vicious personal attacks against me.
Now, here's the Now, and you know, far be it for me to give anybody the benefit of the doubt, but this statement is talking about the caller vicious personal attacks, and I want to find out from whoever wrote the story in R&R whether the vicious personal attacks, you know what I mean? Something's got to be up here.
But either way, this dude, Michael Savage, is still, even if you give him that benefit of the doubt,
he's still kind of legitimizing his behavior by throwing some dirt at us, which is totally unwarranted.
He's blaming us. Now, I'm going to listen to this tape again and see if I hear a vicious personal attack from this crank caller.
Right.
Because they potted it down.
What I heard was the guy says we should, it sounds like.
We should talk about his show.
He sounds like the caller, it sounds like the caller is saying, Dynamite should take your spot because they have better teeth.
That's what it sounds like.
The vicious
listen again. Yeah.
Until the next time on Unsavage Airways, this is Michael Savage. Let's go to a caller. If you have an airline horror story, give me a ring right here on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Did you have a worse case than this one?
Hey, Michael Savage. Pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah.
I was flying out of LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And there's two undercover security guards.
Yeah.
Somebody was smoking in the bathroom.
Someone was smoking in the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
Okay. And what happened?
Half hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... Because your teeth are real
bad. All right. So you're one of those sodomites.
Yeah.
Are you a sodomite?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig.
So,
how's that?
Now, hold on. Stop it right there. It sounds to me the only part dumped out should take your spot or take
your
show.
How do you go from that to, are you a sodomite? You should get AIDS and die.
So, I mean, I hear a vicious personal attack, but not coming from the caller.
Right. Now we go back to his apology, his public apology. And this is the part that cracks me up. This is just so 100% BS. Out of nowhere, a crank caller from a competitive talk show went from describing his airline horror story to making vicious personal attacks against me. I signaled and thought the crank caller was cut from the air. His insults continued in my earpiece, and I reacted to him personally as an individual who was attacking me to defend myself. Unfortunately, my personal comments to this crank caller who were broadcast. Yeah, no, duh, you idiot. You're in a TV studio with the red light on. In no way did my comments reflect my views of disease and suffering in any way. I've spent my entire life in the field of alternative medicine trying to heal the world and bring comfort to the sick. If my comments brought pain to anyone, I certainly did not intend for this to happen and apologize for any such reaction. Let me repeat. This was an interchange between me personally and a mean-spirited, vicious setup caller, which I thought was taking place off the air. It was not meant to reflect my views of the terrible tragedy and suffering associated with AIDS. I especially appeal to my many listeners in the gay community to accept my apologies for any inadvertent insults which may have occurred. Now, you've just heard the apology. Let's listen to the tape again.
All right.
Now that you've heard the PR'd up apology.
Until the next time on Unsavage Airways, this is Michael Savage. Let's go to a caller. If you have an airline horror story, give me a ring right here on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Did you have a worse case than this one?
Hey, Michael Savage. Pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah.
I was flying out of LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And there's two undercover security guards.
Yeah.
Somebody was smoking in the bathroom.
Someone was smoking in the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
Okay. And what happened?
Half hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... Because your teeth are real
bad. All right. So you're one of those sodomites.
Yeah.
Are you a sodomite?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. Mm. How's that?
I mean, listen to that.
Yeah.
You can hear what the guy said.
Are you a sodomite? You should only get AIDS and die.
The guy said, Don and Mike should take your spot because you have bad teeth.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I didn't hear any vicious personal attack.
I think it's take your spot. I said, Don and Mike should take your... And then he's cut off and because you have bad teeth.
So the thing is... That somebody, and I think someone from our company is going to get a hold of at least some of these trade publications to let them know a couple of points. We have no idea who the guy was that called. He's just one of those guys that calls. We don't sanction those calls. We don't sit around and go, hey, call. Really, I swear, we've never heard of this guy till all this stuff happened yesterday.
No, and, most of the time, all of the calls like that that we're aware of are shows that we've never heard of.
Yeah, we don't know who the guy who is, like, right. The guy that says, you're gone.
You're gone. We don't know that. I don't know that guy's name.
Still
don't.
Yeah. So that's the first point. We have no idea about that guy. We've never spoken with him. We don't sanction the call. We're not saying we don't think it's funny, but we'd had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Number two, we had never talked about Michael Savage until the story broke yesterday, and there have never been any vicious personal attacks against him by us.
Right.
The way the story is being broadcast and written, it gives the appearance that we are attacking the guy. And even today, when we're discussing it, we're being very careful not to attack this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there are things I'd like to say, but I'm not going to say them. All I want to say to this guy, Michael Savage, is I'm sorry that you just got fired from your gig at WABC and KSFO. I'm sorry that you got fired from MSNBC, but don't blame us. We never heard of you. Okay? I don't know how much clearer we can make it. And from my listening to that tape,
mm-hmm.
I heard a guy say, Don and Mike should take your slot because you have bad teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you called him a sodomizer and...
Hope that
he gets AIDS.
And die, you pig.
Mm-hmm. Listen, just be man enough to stand up and say, hey, I lost it.
Yeah.
Don't blame it on us, dude. And if you, for goodness sakes, if you're getting some advice from somewhere that you want to sue us, Infinity Broadcasting, the attorney's name is Steve Lerman.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it on.
Absolutely.
Bring it on. You're lucky we're not suing your ass for dragging us into this crap.
Absolutely. And, before yesterday, no knowledge of this.
None.
And then, the first time I've heard the tape was on today's show. Is it funny? Yes, it is funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to hear the guy go off.
All of the headlines that I'm reading, the New York Daily News, Savage blames Don and Mike for setup. The Washington Times. MSNBC fires Savage for anti-gay remarks directed at caller from the Don and Mike show.
I have no idea how long this guy's been in the business, what his history is in the business. I really have no idea. But
I don't know.
It would seem to me that whoever's giving him the advice, or if he's making these judgment calls on his own, that he ought to rethink a few things.
Yeah, let me see.
Because really, you don't just come out and say, we set this call. He knows that we didn't set this call up, in my opinion.
No, of course we didn't.
I mean, and it's ridiculous.
And he's not on our radar screen. Dude, I've seen your picture now.
Does he have bad teeth? I guess we can't say that or not.
Well, Mike, I can't tell because he's not smiling in the photo.
Is that the guy on the left?
Yeah, the guy with the cowboy hat.
More like a fedora.
Yeah. Handsome. I'll tell you this. He's much handsomer than either you or I.
Oh, absolutely.
However, listen, just, grow a set. Grow a set of nuts and just admit that you made a mistake. But don't drag us into this, man.
Yeah, please.
We got enough problems on our own. We don't need...
Can you imagine if we went... Let's take the calls that we have received about competing radio stations on this show. I mean... they're in the thousands.
Impossible. Just think of the calls we've taken just about Howard.
Sure.
We take a million calls just about Howard.
Are they annoying sometimes? And do we get mad sometimes? Absolutely. It's all about, what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And what comes out of your mouth is really what caused everything to happen, not what came out of the caller's mouth. Right.
And listen, just be a man. Just say, so you got fired from MSNBC. Make your apology that, frankly, I don't believe. But if you're going to do it because you think it's going to help you PR-wise, do it. But don't drag me and Mike down there with you. Don't drag us down. And, dude, you got to learn how to take phone calls.
Right.
I mean, on this show, that would be a laugh riot.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't start... It takes a lot more than that to set us off on a caller.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I've had a lot of people say, oh, this is good publicity. You guys are getting notarized.
And getting notarized hurts because of those stamps all over
our... You know what I mean? It's notable publicity that we're getting.
It's not a riot. You're right.
Yeah, but, mm-hmm. but we're being lumped in with some guy who yeah. you know, for everything.
And when I hear conservative, that puts up a red flare because I think, what, is this the type of thing he's, does he mention this sodomite type stuff? Is that, does he say that? Do you know
yeah,
anything about
without,
that?
Without passing any judgment, I'll just tell you two things from his website. Here's one headline from his website. It says, Supreme Court sides with sodomites.
Oh,
and the other headline is affirmative action is nothing more than affirmative racism.
Okay.
So this is the political ilk that we're talking about.
I'm getting
about.
From R&R now. Yeah. The controversial talk show host mm-hmm. has been the target of numerous protests by activist groups, including the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which called his firing about time.
Well, there you go. Okay.
So, you know, right. the guy's like cruising for a bruising.
Yeah, I mean, when you're really preaching that kind of stuff, you get into trouble.
But
what do we preach? Comedy on this show. That's what we do.
Michael Savage, listen to me now, because I know it's obvious you listen, because you've heard of us and we've never heard of you. Shut up!
And here's some future, here's your just a little advice, okay? Want to deal with the gay community? Michael, this is our advice to you. You get two people who have been associated with your show for over a decade who happen to be gay and who are very, very lovable, fun people, and you send them down to the Gay Pride Parade to interview people at the Gay Pride Parade. And in the case of Cheryl the Big Dyke, she went down there and did the finest piece that she's ever done for us. Yeah. That's how you do it, you know. I mean, really.
You can make fun of gay people like you make fun of anybody, but you don't do it like that. But even if you're going to do it, don't drag us down there Amen. With you. Jesus. And how pompous to think that you're so important that we would send someone out to sabotage your show and that we've made vicious personal attacks.
Right.
I don't know how.
And really,
I don't know how more plainly I can state this. Until yesterday, Jack Diamond was a better known radio host in my mind than you were.
Right.
Andy Polin is a better known radio guy in my head than you are.
And you know what? Here's another little bulletin. You're on television, national television. You're on the radio. You have to learn how to deal with vicious personal attack.
And the thing that I don't buy 100% is I didn't know I was on the air. Please, yeah. You're sitting in a TV studio, you got a camera with a red light on you.
Right.
Why not just come out and say, hey, I lost it with that guy.
A great approach.
Say, hey, I lost it, I apologize.
Ooh, you know, name me anybody that's been in this business for any length of time that hasn't lost it. Name me a week. Maybe even a day where you and I
Buzz,
won't lose
yes.
it.
Buzz hasn't lost
it. Buzz hasn't lost
yet.
It.
Yet. No, Buzz, day now.
Plus, you don't lose it very often.
No.
Anyway, it just sucks that this guy's doing it. And I hope, really, I hope the weasels at Infinity do contact all
well,
of these,
you know, and I know
all of these trades to let them know that, you know, this is being spun away that we don't want to be
right.
involved with.
And you know what? It's really more a legal question that we're probably not qualified to answer. But, you know, when I read that thing in R&R, that disturbs me. And, you know, obviously this guy wouldn't retract himself if he made the statement. But if this was an error in the way it was reported, I'd like that retracted.
But even if that's...
For somebody who's had something retracted in R&R before.
But even if that's the case... Every one of the reports does say that Michael Savage says that this guy was set up by a crank caller from our show.
And that's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not true, and that's, you know, I don't like that.
Hey, and listen, we can take the heat. Jesus Christ, we live in the kitchen. We can, you know, we can stand it.
This show originates from the kitchen.
Turn it up all the way.
Hell's kitchen.
Hell's waiting room, right here. That's this show. But I'll tell you one thing we don't do is pussy out. Could you imagine that? We said something, more likely me than you, but said something, and then came on and said, well, it was Ron and Fez's fault.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. That's a great idea.
Try that.
What's the deal with that? And you guys don't know. You guys listening don't know that over the last 24 hours, I've been contacted by the New York Times, by the New York Post, by the Washington Post, by the Washington Times. Not just industry newspapers, real newspapers.
Yeah, our strategy on that.
Yeah.
That, you know what?
You want to know what we have to say? I've said all of them. You want to know what we have to say? Listen to the show.
That's exactly how we handle that.
Listen to the show, because that way you know it won't be taken out of context.
And if it is taken out of context, we can read it and tell you what's wrong with it, because you've heard it too. You can agree with us.
I like
that. That's why we do it that way now.
What a funny situation, though.
It'll be interesting. I'll be interested to see how it plays out.
And I'm not.
I will give you my prediction as to what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. I believe this is going to go away.
Yeah.
I believe that he is probably going to get the advice that he should have gotten earlier on, and this thing will fade away. It behooves him, and I am not an attorney, but it does behoove him to make this go away as soon as possible.
Well, he made his TV show go away.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Because the more he keeps dwelling on us setting up a caller, the more we're going to be, have to come in here and talk about it.
Yeah, because we're dealing with it. I mean, you know, I'm getting calls from, like, presidents of this company today saying, what did you guys do? And I'm saying, I never heard of him.
Right.
I never heard of the guy. I say, if you got a tape of me making a vicious attack against him, pull it out, and I'll quit on the spot. But I never... Not a word.
It's crazy.
Guy ain't on my radar screen.
No, I mean, you know what? Can we get back to one more pertinent fact in this?
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter if you ever had. It wouldn't matter.
I know, because it's part of the business. Everybody does it.
No, and he's also a public figure. That's the issue here, too. That's not even the fact that we didn't, which is true. We never mentioned the guy. We didn't know the guy existed before yesterday.
I mean, but if he wants a feud...
We're good at it.
We'll bring it on. If you want it... Michael Savage, whoever you are.
Anybody who's listened to this show knows that we have been the recipient of personal vicious attacks, and we have participated in vicious personal attacks.
I want to tell you,
public figures.
We're undefeated.
Right.
A lot of times, the TV stars don't talk to us anymore, but we never lose.
Right.
We never lose. And in disc jockey wars, and that's all this guy is, a glorified disc jockey, you know, wearing his fedora. Jesus, listen to this.
Until the next time on Unsavage
Airlines. Until the next time.
This is Michael Savage. Let's go to a caller. If you have an airline horror story, give me a ring.
He's kind of a puker, too. If you have an airline horror story.
How are you?
Right here on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Did you have a worse case than this one?
Hey, Michael Savage. Pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah.
I was flying out of LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And there's two undercover security guards.
Yeah.
Somebody was smoking in the bathroom.
Someone was smoking in the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
Okay. And what happened?
Half hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... Because your teeth are real
all right,
bad.
All right. So you're real one bad. Of those sodomites.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a sodomite?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that?
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. It's a great segment.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for blaming us for that.
Oh, dear me.
That's a smart move. It takes a lot of guts. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike. I know we got a break. Let me just take a call here. Hello?
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 You're on the air.
Don and Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi.
Listen, I spend a lot of time in my car, and I listen to a lot of radio, and I know Mike Savage.
Here we go.
I'm sure
you know him just as well as you know Mike and I.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know his radio show, okay?
Uh-huh.
And? He's a conservative shock jock, okay?
Honey, listen, here's our whole issue with him. We don't know anything about him. Our issue is he did this stuff. He's dragging us down there with him. He should just shut his friggin' mouth.
Yeah, but you know something? How you guys say you don't pay these people to do this, you don't know who these people are to phone in. First of all, these are immature idiots that do this. But aside from that,
yeah,
you encourage it by the introductory to your show.
And honey, can I tell you something? Hold on, slow down for a second. Do you know that tape today was played on Bill O'Reilly's show?
I know. I heard Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, so now
Bill O'Reilly is...
Can't imagine that Bill O'Reilly would play a tape like that. Honey, I'll tell you something else. We've been crank called on our show by people, and we have the tapes in the rack where we're made to look like idiots.
There is an enormous difference between hearing a tape like that and laughing at it, and playing a tape like that and laughing at it, and getting together and calling these people or having them over to our house or having them come by the radio station and say, here's what we want you to do. We want you to call Michael Savage, and we want you to call him at this particular time, and here's what you say. We have absolutely nothing to do with that.
But even, I understand
but
that.
Even
I
beyond,
understand
beyond that, beyond...
What I'm saying is, how... What... Can you envision envision knowing anybody who would spend endless amount of hours calling into radio stations.
Wait a minute. I'm talking to her right now. I'm talking to a person right now.
Now hold on a second. Hold on. You're obviously... Let me tell you something right now.
A crank call.
Can you shut up for just a second, please?
A crank call.
You are pointing the finger at the wrong person.
Amen.
Don't point the finger at the crank caller that said a guy had bad teeth when this guy comes back with sodomite, eat a sausage, and die, you moron.
And then he blames it on us.
What is wrong with you?
No,
you have no problem with that?
What do you think of that? What do you think about his comments?
Hey, hold on. Hold on.
You think you are.
Hold on.
What about his comments that he made? What do you think of that?
I'm telling you, that's his shtick.
Oh, that's his shtick. Telling people to get AIDS and die is his shtick.
That's shtick?
That's
shtick?
Wow.
Let me ask you a question.
What do you think of gay people?
I have no problem with gay people.
Okay, so you don't have a problem with somebody saying sodomites die of AIDS?
That's comedy.
He took his radio shock jock shtick.
So that's funny to you, but the crank call isn't.
For the last time, regardless of what anybody does on their show, whether you like it or approve of it or think it's funny or not funny or shocking or whatever, the point is, if you do it, stand up and be a man and just say, I'm sorry. What your friend is doing is trying to blame
it
on us.
He's not my friend. I don't know.
He's trying to blame it on us. You don't see me running down the street trying to find your parents, blaming them for giving birth to you so you would call in and F up my show today.
All I'm saying is...
Oh, here we go again. Are you going to say it again? Are you going to repeat yourself?
You're blaming him for, you feel unfairly blamed because you don't know...
Yes, because there's a story in the national press...
Called in.
Honey... Listen to me. There is a story. God damn, shut up. There is a story in the national press about a stupid disc jockey wishing AIDS and sodomy on someone, and in a roundabout way, which really isn't roundabout, the disc jockey who did it is blaming us for it. That's my problem. But and my problem with you is that you are old. That is my problem with you. And I have a prize for you. I'm going to buy you a casket. Hold on, please.
And I would believe, you know, if she doesn't have a problem with what was said, I don't buy that comment about the gay community either.
Yeah. She's a fan.
Well.
Amazing.
Well.
Wow.
Well, I'd like to hear from...
And, you know, if you really want to nitpick, if you really... And I didn't hear the entire call. And it sounds to me like we heard it, and the only part that was dumped out was, Dynamite should take your spot because... And then turned up because you have bad teeth.
Really bad teeth.
My God. I mean, put that on the, on your scale of vicious personal attack.
Yeah, as opposed to death and AIDS.
Funny.
How many times have we been called fat?
And I got news for you, honey, because I know you're still listening right now, eating your fast food, driving your small Kia or Geo, whatever it is you're driving, with your fat, greasy hands all over the wheel. That tape of you, that we have of you, that will be replayed on the show.
Yes.
We will play that on the show with you trying to give us a hard time.
Right.
We put that in our archives as well. But the difference is we're not blaming anybody for it.
No.
I'm saying we had a real dumb past menopausal woman called our show and tried to defend Michael Savage.
Can you slow down on the vicious personal attacks on that woman?
I wish a migraine on you.
Oh, you bastard. What cruelty. What naked cruelty.
What the hell?
Wow.
What the hell?
Well, it's always interesting. You know what? I swear to God, we're back here, back in town today, and... Look what happens.
So anyway, that's it. Everybody still wants to talk about this. I think we're just about done talking about this, right?
Yeah, I mean we've covered it. We had to make our statement because that's how we get our word out.
And that's it. That's our statement. Just to reiterate, we have no idea who the guy is that called this disc jockey. Mm-hmm. We didn't sanction his call. We think it's funny, but we didn't sanction it. We didn't tell him to do it. Until this story broke, we have never talked about Michael Savage. We've never made any vicious personal attacks against him. And by the way, the story is being written in many publications. It appears that we have attacked him.
And that's wrong.
And we would like an apology.
Yeah, I agree.
We'd like an apology.
Mm-hmm.
Nice big bouquet of... Or you know what I like? I'd like a nice big donation to be made to the Gay Men's Choir.
Amen.
In the name of Michael Savage.
Right.
Michael Savage with you.
That's a great idea. Yeah, don't apologize. Just write a check.
This is Michael Savage. I'm wearing a safari hat right now because I am a crazy disc jockey, and I want to say anything that I say today is blamed on Don and Mike.
It's their fault, even though they didn't hear me.
Don and Mike, who work on a competing talk show.
Right.
I'd like, you know, I heard the guys on in D.C., like on WTNT.
Yeah, let's find out if we're really competing with them.
On that station?
Vice versa, I should say.
Call Cameron.
Let's get that.
What's Cam's phone number?
Should be up here behind your...
Is he on at the same time?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
872.
Thanks, buddy. I'll have Cameron pull up his ratings versus our ratings to see if we really compete with him.
Absolutely.
At least here in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Cameron.
Hey, Cam, it's Don and Mike.
Hey, boys.
Hey, can you pull up from the last book, the last ratings book? Do you know if this guy Michael Savage is on WTNT?
I've heard of him.
Home of G. Gordon Liddy.
Oh,
home,
that guy.
Home of the 0.5 share.
Right.
I'm reading now that he's on in the afternoon against us. Would you
on TNT?
Yeah. During this break, would you just bring down the ratings for us and him?
Done.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We'll just find out a little bit about how much he's competing with us.
Yes.
At least here.
We're a competing radio show.
I don't have the ratings for all the cities. I don't think he's in all the cities we're in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have one thing in common. We've both been fired from New York.
Yes, this is true.
But you didn't see us going out blaming the radio chick for it.
No way. No.
You didn't see us getting on blaming Scott Farrell. Because we got fired in New York. Yeah, we got there's only one person, two people to blame for that, and you know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me. I'd like to say I'm really glad and proud to be here tonight. True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego and a couple of new people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a goddamn magic show ready to double team your girlfriend, and it stops
right there, and it continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind. Let's raise our glasses, whatever we got in front of us. Salute, health and happiness. Cheers, everybody. I love you so much, Frankie.
I love you. I'm not a talker. I love you.
The Don and Mike Show. Freedom from constipation. It's the Don and Mike Show.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Who is recording Cameron at the wedding?
You know, I think, hey, Lisa, can you bring the pictures in? I think they have some pictures up from Lisa's wedding on WJFK.com. But
very good.
Where's they put pictures of all of us up? Because you know me, I'm like that. I looked at the first page Charlie showed me in his office, and the first thing I thought was, well, where's me?
Right.
Where am I? Where's Buzz? Where's Rob?
And since I wasn't there, you could just put that single headshot of me.
There are wedding pictures there.
Oh, you're on the website, Buzz?
Yes, uh-huh.
Is there just one page?
Yes, yeah, just one page so far.
Just one page?
Right.
Well, they got to put some more up. Because your picture's not there, right?
Right.
Yeah, or me.
No.
Robbie, I think there's one picture of Cameron and Big Gum Jim.
Right.
Very drunk.
Mm-hmm. You're not on there?
Yeah, I know, Mike. I'm feeling slighted.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second slight you felt in a while. I burned all my single headshots, incidentally, after that last show. Yeah,
burned them.
Good.
I never got one.
Good.
You don't need a single headshot.
Well, good. He says.
We got 5 more years together.
Do you understand? No, I'm not going to open that can of worms up again. But
what?
You know, the only reason for that was based on the time that we had an ad running for the band, and
I know
they used your picture.
My picture is
that is the only reason for that, and the fact that I've got hundreds of just single shots of me.
Well, we during the break we tried to do some research, but we found out that this guy Michael Savage,
uh-huh,
who we'd never heard of, and apparently no one in Washington has, we can't compare our ratings to his because he's on at 10 o'clock at night.
Ah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he's doing a super job.
Yeah. Well, he's in old Larry King land.
He's doing a super job.
Mm-hmm.
0.7 share.
Yes.
So that's, you know.
All right, good.
He set the market on fire.
We're competing.
0.7.
Yeah. My God.
He's competing with us.
What is wrong with people?
Watch out, Don.
It's almost as funny as, oh, boy, I don't want this whole show
we should really, though, talk about the exercise of finding out what time he was on around here.
Well, go ahead.
I mean,
tell him
honest to God, there are like 70 people running around this building going, what time's he on? I don't know. What time's he on? Okay, I think it's he's on when Don and Mike are on. No, 10 to 1. Oh, he's on middays. No, he's on 10P to 1A, definitive word. Who is it? Michael Savage. Where? When? Hello? Just trying to find out when he was on the radio.
As long as let me just pull up my email because I want to read you something. One more radio thing, and then I'll get out of it.
Okay, very good.
About Mobile.
Ah, yes, where we were informed yesterday they have pulled the plug on the show.
Right.
Gone. We're gone.
In Mobile, Alabama, I believe a relatively long association with the city of Mobile, but not with any particular radio station.
Mm-hmm. The way that you hear...
We're on about 9 different radio stations here.
Well, I got to read you something because somebody sent me out of the newspaper.
Okay.
About... You want to talk about BS. Give me a second.
Oh, really? So there was obviously an article about us being dumped from the radio station, and let's hear the spin. Yeah.
This is always good.
Right. Hold on. There's got some quote. Hold on. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
It's always an adventure, Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Right, always. Every day.
Here it is. This is from... I got this from a friend of mine who works on the FM station.
I got this jacket from the network.
It's from... whatever the paper is there, TV and radio editor Mike Brantley. Move this monitor over here so I can read.
Okay. Bang!
Oh.
Hey, don't hit that one.
Oh, sorry. I got so much stuff here.
Look at that nerve. It is funny.
Great. And now the computer just...
Oh, no. Crapped out. Did you have it? Did you lose it?
Yeah, I had to move the computer over
and did it just
so I could read my email and it just... The thing
it came unplugged or something? Or...
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, do you want me to...
There you go.
All right, it's back in. Now, it's just the monitor.
I got it.
Uh-huh. Okay. And now your keyboard fell down.
That's okay.
So here's what it says. What happened to the pictures I was supposed to see?
The Don and Mike Show. This is from the Mobile, Alabama newspaper.
All right.
The Don and Mike Show, the sometimes raw, always irreverent, nationally syndicated radio program featuring Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, is off the air in Mobile. Declining ratings and dissatisfaction with the show's frequently racy subject matter led WABB AM 1480's management to remove the program from its lineup, according to WABB owner Bernie Dittman. Replacing it this week was Sean Hannity's syndicated political show. It just has not been the thing that we feel was good for the station, said Dittman. The show is full of stuff we don't need to have on the air with the quality we've added to the station. Bottom line, said WABB program director Joe Valentine, the show is no longer drawing enough listeners to warrant staying on the air. Right. Now, I have comebacks to all of these.
Yeah.
Factual comebacks.
I know
comebacks.
You do. Mm-hmm. And this is great. This is great.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't read this if I didn't have the comeback. But
right.
I just want to tell you the spin that these guys are doing. The show is no longer drawing the lizards. It was a slow, gradual slide. And all of a sudden, I went to a ratings book and saw that they'd lost 3/4 of their number since a year ago, Valentine said. Dittman explained. One of the reasons we did keep them on, because they did deliver some male audience on the AM that would help our overall ratings. That stopped. And then the people who are listening to the station now called a lot and were objecting to the raw stuff that they had on.
Mm-hmm.
Dittman and Valentine complained that the show's syndicator, Westwood One, was delivering too many reruns of the Don and Mike Show, which likely contributed to the ratings decline. Okay, just let me get through this, and we'll address each of these points.
Very good.
Let me see. Dittman and Valentine complained that the show syndicator, blah, 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 Westwood One's website describes Don and Mike as being a contemporary show in which the host lives their lives on the radio, dominates radio's male audience. But ongoing disagreements between the show's hosts and their syndicator have played a part in ratings decline, WABB's Valentine said. Mm. They've had a lot of on-air rant and raves about that, the program director said. They've been taking a lot of vacation time, and their topics have been getting a little old.
Well,
okay,
you.
So, let's review some facts, mm-hmm. because I happen to be able to research some facts.
Yes.
The radio station that we've been on for the last 7 years, 8 years, in Mobile, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
WABB, constantly hovers near the bottom of the ratings.
Right.
The best that this station has done over the last 5 years is a 1.0 share.
I didn't know that.
Ouch.
I didn't know.
Now, among that 1.0 share, I would always know when we had a good book because I would see the numbers and I'd see, the station went like 0.8 to 1.0.
Right.
Which means we had a spike
mm-hmm.
in the numbers. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening here. And I swear to God, I'm not spinning this. And it's fine they want to cancel us and get rid of us, but don't make us look like schmucks. When they say that the new audience for the station finds what we're doing too racy.
Right.
This is a station that's carried the show since 1996. So it's 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, almost 8 years. You mean all of a sudden the audience has decided
right.
that we are not right for the station? I'll tell you what they did. They realized it's a piece of ass radio station, and the only place they were getting ratings was our show. So they started putting in junk like Sean Hannity,
mm-hmm.
Rush Limbaugh. And, of course, you put shows like that on, and you get blue-haired ladies calling in going,
mm-hmm. right.
Well, now, why are these guys talking about pleasuring themselves?
Sure.
And the whole thing is just a gigantic PR spin, bull S, WABB and Mobile. We take a...
It's because the fan base that we have down there, they go nuts when they take this show off, and that's why they're reacting the way they are. A management team that's reacting to people getting a little, pissed off that we were taking off.
Right. Here's a couple of points. They mentioned the fact that we take time off. Our vacation schedule has been the same for the last 3 years. That's not an issue. They talk about us complaining about stuff. Now, last year, we spent an awful lot of time complaining about WNEW.
We sure did.
And about Opie and Anthony. And the year before that, we spent an awful lot of time complaining about whatever we were complaining about.
Right.
It's just part of what we do.
Uh-huh.
Every year, it seems we go through a period where we just complain about stuff.
Right.
So that's nothing new. Here you go. The ratings. Let's talk about the ratings.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you that out of the four rating books a year, maybe one was not that great. But when the guy writes, it was slow. It was a slow, gradual slide, and all of a sudden I went to a ratings book and saw they'd lost three-quarters of their numbers since a year ago. That, my friend, is an out-and-out lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only going on 12-plus, which is all listeners 12-plus. That's all I can get. But we went from a 1.1 to a 1.3... to a 1.1, to a 1.1. Now, those are not numbers that you want to go out and, no. There's like Michael Savage ratings.
Right.
You're not going to go out on the street and say, hey, we got a 1.1.
Yeah. Right.
But the point is, there was no gigantic drop-off in our ratings.
No.
And really, if you really wanted to make a case to get rid of this show, you would wait until the most important ratings period of the year was over, which is the one we just completed.
Right.
The spring ratings period. Those ratings don't come out for about another month.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you make a decision. I'll tell you exactly what happened. In Mobile, Alabama, they're retooling this POS AM station. They had a chance to pick up Sean Hannity because he's the current flavor of the month. They just thought they'd get rid of us.
Mm-hmm.
But they just can't get rid of us quietly. They got to go to the newspaper and spout all this crap.
Yeah, when they're blaming us for something that they shouldn't blame us for.
You ever stop?
Seems to be the theme of today's show.
You ever stop to wonder, though, if no one listened to us in Mobile and there was just this big slide, why would the newspaper bother to write an article about the fact that we were no longer there?
Yes, why would they have to go out so noisily?
Mm-hmm. If we were just such an insignificant part of the Mobile, Alabama radio landscape,
mm-hmm.
why would we be gone and why would the newspaper be calling them for comments? And stop lying. You know, if you don't like the show and you're changing the direction of the station, that's cool. We can do with that.
And, you know, the fact
deal
is,
with that.
You know, after what we've done, we've been there for that long a period of time. You don't need to slam us like that. It's not necessary, especially when you're not telling the truth.
Right? You know, and let's
be
honest.
A little frustrating. Well, that seems to be quite a theme.
Let's critique. I'm going to try to find this out. The ratings for the other day parts the radio station.
That'd be good.
Because I'd like to see how the rest of the station, what kind of crazy ratings the rest of the station had that you and I were dragging them down.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Dittman explained one of the reasons we did keep them on, like they'd been wanting to get rid of us for so long. But,
yeah, like they were doing us a favor.
Right. But, you know, we did deliver some male audience on the AM band that would help the overall rating. That stopped, and the people who are listening to the show now called a lot and were objecting to the raw stuff they had
on. Yeah, the people who are listening to the show now called a lot. Mm-hmm. Come on.
The show's syndicator was delivering too many reruns, which likely contributed to the ratings decline. Now, see, again, here's the thing. Our vacation schedule is pretty well known. Yeah. We take about 2.5-3 weeks off at Christmas. We get 2 weeks at 4th of July, 2 weeks at Labor Day. And then we get our time off at Christmas. That's it. It's been the same for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
During the last ratings book, the spring ratings book, we had 2 days where we were coming back from Iceland,
mm-hmm.
1 day in which I was truly sick, and 1 day in which my kid graduated high school.
That's it.
4 days out of like 78 shows.
Mm-hmm.
So don't
you should also mention that the vacation schedule is coincided to not be during the ratings period.
Yeah, and do you know, like, for instance, during our last ratings, during the last vacation we took it, and we have that elongated period of vacation because there's no ratings going on then.
Right.
That's why we get the long vacations when there's no ratings going on.
Exactly. That's why the time is, and that, so his theory about the ratings, you know, you can say Westwood delivered too many reruns, but not related to your rating situation.
Mm-hmm. No. And it's,
so that's, you know, that's another thing. Well, first of all, I mean, look what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know, it's Mobile. I know, but
it's Mobile out.
I feel bad because we did have a very small, very
scooter.
Loyal... Yeah, poor Scooter.
Yeah.
He's going to end up in a home now without us.
Yeah.
And Rob, you never got that gift, did you? You never got your plate.
Never sent you the gift.
It was a punch bowl, and now I'll never get it. Does this mean we never get to go back there?
Mm-hmm.
We never went there.
Maybe that had something to do with it. When all those people would call from Mobile and said, when are you coming down here? And we said, never.
Yeah. That could be a little.
We had fun with Alabama, though.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun. A lot of calls.
And a great band.
I will always like great-looking band.
Well, yeah. Timely.
Anyway,
Sweet
it's just
great Americans.
It's just funny. You know, we get canceled all the time from stations. It just pisses me off when they go to the newspaper and say stuff that's just not true, mm-hmm. especially when I have access to the same ratings.
Right.
I see it's a piece of ass radio station, and we are very, very much outperforming the radio station. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not.
We'll get all the details. We'll get the details on that.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You know.
Good luck. And I'm gonna. And another thing I'm gonna do, and I do do this because it's just my nutty compulsive personality. I'll keep tabs on them for the next year to see the major meteoric gains that they have with the flavor of the month, Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Yeah, Jesus. So anyway, that's what happened to us in Mobile, Alabama.
Oof.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
I'm from the Mobile area. I'm in Pensacola, which got the broadcast out of Mobile.
Right.
And, in about the 96-97 time frame, Pensacola Christian College, which is like a huge Bible-making Christian bookstore and college down there, one of their holdings companies bought both the AM and FM WABB radio station. And it used to be the fun time, good-loving, having radio station down there. But they bought it, and they've been slowly taking all of the more racy stuff off of the air and replaced it with crap.
And again, even if...
There we are again. And what are they putting on? Conservative talk?
You know, and if that's
exactly,
the case,
that's
why not just
totally
be honest? Why not just come out and say we were bought by another group that wants to take the station in a different direction? No,
there
but the
go.
Thing is, I know the day they took us off, The switchboard had to be flooded with our listeners calling. So instead
well, it
of
sounds
just,
to me like maybe we were the last. Were we the last show of this kind?
You guys were the last bastion of hope for either one of the radio stations down there. And then you guys, you know, they just took you out. So now we have nothing to listen to but crap. So
rather than just be honest with people and say, hey, we're moving in a different direction. No, you got to go to the newspaper and you got to embarrass us in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, look at yourselves. How's WABB as a radio station doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're the giant albatross holding that station back from being the market dominator.
Right. Is it all like that same kind of talk now on that radio station?
It's all talk in like in the music that they do play is like all totally censored music. It's all lowbrow crap, Michael Bolton and junk.
Oh, well, of course they fired us. Of course they fired us. But, see, they got to have something to tell the listeners because the listeners will call the program director, and, you know, program directors are never honest.
No.
Well, unless we had to let them go because of a steady slide in the ratings.
I went back and I looked because it was the first time I've ever done that.
I'd never even known how to read a ratings book, but I read this when I saw a slide. And, you know, they spent an awful lot of time complaining on their show. Yeah. Yes, we do.
I wonder what causes that. Today we're complaining about Mobile, Alabama.
We always do. Yeah, I had that discussion the other day. I know we got a break. I had that discussion the other day with somebody talking about, I don't know what it was, back in May when we were yelling about something. And some guy called us up and said, well, your ratings will not be any good now because all you do is complain. We got a raise, man. We got like a 7.5 share.
Right.
I mean, the trick is, you don't do it all the time. You do it a little bit. And mainly we do it just to get things done.
Sure. I mean, there is a method to our madness here.
But really, you know, it's kind of like, it's our show. I mean, I hate to sound like Bob Barker, but...
Yeah, and it's unfortunate when an affiliate, you know, feels they have to slam us like we're not going to find out what's going on.
Because they don't have the balls to tell their audience the truth. I mean, I'll tell you. We had a 1.1 share.
Right.
We're like 21st place. But we outperformed the whole radio station.
Well, as you said, POS.
Yeah.
That's what the radio station was and is.
Anyway, that's all I got today. Michael Savage in Mobile.
That's plenty.
I'm out. We can move on now.
More complaining coming up.
Oh, no, Mike, no. Get ready to take a tone of reverence.
Really?
That's right. The big man died over the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
And we will have our very, very, very serious tribute. To bury what? You got the song, Rob?
I do.
You got the songs? Okay. Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Love that place.
Yes, I do.
Love it.
You know what I love more, Mike?
Summertime?
Farting into my singular wireless phone.
Oh, no.
Look at two clients mad at once.
There you go.
It's summertime and everyone's bouncing from one place to another. But if you switch to singular wireless, it's easy to keep in touch with your whole family, no matter where they are.
It's easy to add lines to your plan. Just call 1-866-SINGULAR to get Singular's family talk. Plans start at just $39.99. And it's just $9.99 per line per month. No matter where you are, your whole family can stay in touch all summer long, plus nationwide long distance is included. Wow!
We'll give them a make good for this. Keep your family connected by switching to Singular Wireless. Call Singular at 1-866-SINGULAR. Certain restrictions apply. See Singular stores for details.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. Nothing works here. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
How about you, Bill O'Reilly?
Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
Right.
More fun than putting your hand in a bag of bees. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to welcome you guys back to Buffalo.
You know, I'm so glad that we're back on in Buffalo. It's been, God, hard to believe, like 10 years
yeah,
since we were on in Buffalo.
Years. Yeah, we've been on.
84, you left.
When did we leave? 84?
94.
94.
Well, we've been in Rochester for a long time. That's not too far away, but it's great to be back on in Buffalo.
Yeah, but we have lots of love when we worked at KB Radio in yeah. Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. We love you up here. We miss you guys.
We're glad to be back, and glad that we're finally on an FM station in Buffalo, too.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to head out to this area?
Sure.
Well,
but you could bring Rob up to the new casino we have up in Niagara Falls.
Rob will be up.
Rob, would you stop it with that? Rob hates going anywhere.
Yeah, well,
on, on the American side.
We just need some ratings. We'll come up there. Thanks.
You got
for
a casino on the American side?
Yeah, both sides now.
Ooh, all right.
Thanks for checking in.
I don't hate traveling a week from this weekend.
Oh, yes. Rob, can I have some reverb for this, please?
Of course.
Oh, you boys are going.
Yes, that's right. Attention, Sacramento. Attention, Sacramento. This is famous DJ Don. Join me and my buddy Rob, but not Mike, as we come to Sacramento 1 week from Saturday, because I lost a bet.
Very good.
Week from Saturday.
All right.
Not this weekend.
No.
Next weekend.
After that.
Robbie and I will be out there. Doing something. Don't know what we're doing yet.
Now, don't they have you going somewhere?
Yeah,
somewhere. Rob's talking to the PD.
Oh, good. Hey,
you got your local station.
You guys are going to have a very full schedule out there.
Well, we're flying out.
Uh-huh. Do you know part of the bet was also that I think this was either part of the bet or you might have agreed to it after the fact.
About being greeted at the airport.
People would greet you at the airport. Yeah.
Stay tuned to this program for the announcement of our arrival and then also for details on the two-hour meet and greet.
Yep, we're doing it.
Can I trust you both implicitly? But I will need to see, before the announcement is made as to where you're arriving, I will need to see the ticket.
Hey, come on. It's in my office right now.
We wouldn't let you down. Rob, go get it up there. We can announce it now.
Yeah.
We can announce it now. What the hell? Well, we're flying out there.
I mean, that would be you two giggling the whole way. We're like, you're down at a different terminal. Like, there's a different terminal in Sacramento.
No.
Yeah. No, I think there's several. It's a large airport.
You've been to the Sacramento
airport. I've been to the Sacramento airport. And I could just see you two laughing hysterically as there were, 200 people standing at a gate, and you were making it out to the...
A bet is a bet.
Right.
And we are going to go to Sacramento.
Right.
And we'll be there. We arrive on Saturday.
Joe is getting the itinerary right now. He'll be down in a moment.
Good.
I can tell you what we're flying. We're flying Northwest.
Well, Mike, because I'm paying. That's why. Because I'm paying. We're flying Northwest. That's Robbie?
Good. Yes?
Who's paying for your first class ticket?
First class all the way to Sacramento.
Hey, that's fantastic. Yeah. You boys will have a good time.
We got to fly out of Baltimore to do it. We got to drive an hour and a half to get to the airport.
My
but
God. Well, at least is it a direct flight?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. That's almost impossible.
It's not a direct?
It's one stop.
Oh, it does have a stop?
It's in Minneapolis.
You lied, my friend.
I never said it wasn't. I said one stop in Minneapolis. It'll save you $1,000 times two.
There we go.
Yes. All right.
And the good thing is we don't have to leave BWI until 6:30.
In the morning?
Yes.
Oh,
my God.
So we'll be good and toasty by the time
So you boys will be leaving at, you get up at 3.
Yeah. Roughly, yeah.
Yeah.
At least.
And then fly across the country, go to our hotel, then go to the establishment and meet all of the great listeners in Sacramento for exactly 2 hours. And then Rob and I will go have I will break my diet and have a humongous steak, the biggest steak in all of Northern California.
Right.
And a great cigar. And then we are going to just get hammered.
Right.
It's hammer time.
And then get back on a plane the next morning.
And
yes.
You going to stay up all night?
No.
What time does your flight leave?
6:30.
The coming. All right, here's Joe.
Easy, Don.
What? You'll be served breakfast.
Well,
all right, thank you,
Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Mike, would you like to announce when we're arriving in Sacramento?
All right, hold on a second, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, very exciting here. Hold on.
Come on, I've never welched on a bet with you in my life.
All right, so you leave at 6:45, not 6:30. Let's get these facts straight.
Much better. Much like I will be on you to take Tom Gavin to that titty bar when the Red Sox don't make the playoffs.
Well, they had a rough weekend with the Yankees. They split. Okay.
They're four games out right now.
You owe America this, Don.
All right. It's Lindbergh.
Oh.
I said we'd be hammering. I'm sorry. It's hammer time. Set off the hammer alarm.
You guys, this is funny. You'll be arriving at Lindbergh Terminal. Or is that the departure? Why does it say departure terminal? Oh, Lindbergh Terminal is in Minneapolis. You will arrive at Terminal B. We don't have a gate, obviously. At this, it's a Terminal B, and you arrive
at for best,
mm-hmm.
the best terminal
at 11:07 a.m. in beautiful Sacramento.
Sacramento time, 11:07.
Do you welcome the media?
Oh, yes, please.
Northwest Airlines Terminal B.
I hope the reporter from the Mobile, Alabama paper shows up. I hope Michael Savage shows up.
That'd be good.
You guys are spending an inordinate amount of time there, though.
I know.
He's.
I told you I like Sacramento.
Right. Why does it say October 20th?
It does.
I swear to God.
What?
July 20th. That's the day you're leaving, right?
Yes.
All right. The leaving for Sacramento.
Right. Yes. Saturday.
Because we're staying there until October, right. Mike.
And this would be July 20th, 2003. That would be your departure date.
Rob's handled all that.
And the day you're rocking. Right. And then this would be your arrival, you know, that you leave from Sacramento and get back home to Baltimore, Washington on October 20th. 2003.
All right, so we'll be out there 4 months.
Enjoy your stay.
Rob, am I wrong about that?
We'll miss you.
What you're reading on the... Rob, is that...
No, you are wrong. July 19th is our departure. July 20th is our return. I'm not exactly sure what October 20th means, but it doesn't have anything to do with our departure or our arrival.
Mike, we've just announced it. We'll be arriving, and we'll give you the exact date,
and we'll be
know
there
it
for 4 months.
Rob is now looking at... Rob.
No,
what
but
is,
look.
Why is that? No, I believe you, but I mean, I'm just curious about October 20th.
Hold
why
on,
is
everybody.
It on
excuse me. Rob, I'm going to need my my megaphone.
Oh, okay.
We got a jumper in Baltimore.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Let's go live to Don and Mike breaking news from Baltimore. Here is Jim on Live 105. Jim.
Yeah, I'm going crazy.
All right, where's he at?
I don't know. It's somewhere on the other side of the tunnel. They get the whole tunnel shut down. The road's back.
Which,
up
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Which tunnel?
Not if it's a tunnel, it can't be a jumper.
Harbor tunnel?
Yeah, the harbor tunnel. No, it's like on the other side of the tunnel. There's a small bridge.
Oh, a bridge.
There is a bridge by the harbor tunnel in Baltimore.
Yeah, and it's the moron that's standing on the bridge, and they got the whole road closed down.
Oh, dear.
How do you do this, Rob?
You pull the trigger.
Hello?
Very selfish.
Attention.
Oh, wow. Turn that down.
The game's over here.
A little feedback there.
Turn it down.
I'm doing a public service right now.
Attention.
No?
Still two.
Right on two.
Going to frighten the jumper.
Down to two.
Someone's been munching.
Attention.
So turn it down to one.
Well, it's a megaphone going into a microphone.
Not loud enough.
Attention. Attention.
Perfect.
Attention, city of Baltimore. Especially you, the guy who's on...
Oh, you know what? We're going to need anybody who's driving by the Harbor Tunnel right now to roll their windows down and turn their radio up.
Yeah.
And is he like inbound or outbound on the Harbor Tunnel?
Inbound, going into the city.
Well, Don, you know, they won't be letting people drive by him, probably. They're probably just stopping traffic altogether.
But I'm sure there are people that are stopped.
Close.
That are close. So please, everybody, and since I know everybody in Baltimore listens to our show.
Everybody's listening to Live 105.
That's right.
Attention. Yeah. Attention, you, the douchebag on the bridge. This is Don from the Don and Mike Show. And I know this makes Mike feel uncomfortable.
Is it Don O'Brien?
It might be Ross Wilson after what I said yesterday. Did I tell you that?
Talk to me on the mic if you're not making your announcement.
Did I tell you?
Stand by.
That Big Don told me that when he worked with this guy, Ross Wilson, that when Ross Wilson would get pissed off at him, and while they were on the air, he'd just reach in his briefcase and pull out a gun and hold it up in the air at Big Don.
Yeah, threaten him with a gun.
You mentioned that.
Nuts.
Yeah. Very normal.
Nuts.
Normal behavior.
Makes for a good energy, though.
Sure. Absolutely.
Attention, Baltimore. This is Don from the Don and Mike Show. I speak for myself, not for my friend Mike, who is a pacifist and a lover of humankind. I urge you on behalf of all of the people stuck on the Baltimore Beltway, waiting to get through the Harbor Tunnel, to jump, you pathetic piece of crap. What are you doing up there? If you're going to jump, jump. Otherwise, get your ass off there, because there are people who have jobs, who have families, it's 95 friggin' degrees outside, and they want to get home. And what's your problem? No, my cable guy didn't come today. No, I got an ingrown toenail. My girlfriend left me. I'm an alcoholic. Well, deal with it, pal. Jump. Don't tease us like this. When you do this, First of all, I want to tell you, you are breaking God's greatest commandment by killing yourself. You are absolutely settling yourself in for a life of eternal damnation. God will take a crap on you if you kill yourself. But if you're determined to do it, don't inconvenience millions of people at 4:45 on the hottest day of the year. Jump! Splat! I dare you! Jump! Right now! Or get down! This is an order! And if you do this, I will give you tickets to see the Baltimore Blast.
Nice.
The soccer team in Baltimore.
Very good.
How about that, hon?
Yeah.
But really, seriously, on behalf of all the people in their cars right now who have jobs and have lives and deal with their everyday problems like most of us do, drinking heavily, pillaging our wives, you know, taking it out on our kids, being a-holes at work, nobody ever thinks about jumping off a bridge. So don't be a teaser, dude. If you're up there, do it. And if your heart's not in it, get the F down, because there are working people who want to go home. You hear that? Thank you.
I don't have a good job or a life. I'm just a fat bastard and I'm hungry.
And there's a fat bastard who's hungry.
You yep. Speak for him.
Oh, you want one for him?
No, you speak for the fat bastard.
I speak for the fat bastard who's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Michael Savage, you better shut your mouth about us. That is all.
Thank you.
Let's go, Yankees.
I really love it when you distance me from those things that make me uncomfortable.
Well, I know
it's
you don't like it.
Extraordinarily thoughtful of you.
I know you don't like it.
But see, in your own way, and I must say, knowing you as well as I do, you see, you're sending that, you're really protesting the concept of jumping off the bridge. Mm-hmm. That's why you gave him that whole spiel about violating God's number one commandment.
Well, the thing I really care about is really, and I mean this seriously, the people in their cars.
Right.
The people who go in and punch in and punch out every day, you know, they don't need this hassle.
Mm-hmm.
You got to jump off a bridge, do it in the middle of the night. Don't do it at 5 o'clock.
Sorry.
Rob hit the siren there in the back.
Don't do it at 5 o'clock. You get F with people's traffic.
Right.
You know, people, we got working people.
F with my dinner.
Yeah, or F with his dinner.
And you're a fat guy. You need your calories.
I'm a fat guy.
All right, thanks, my friend.
Hi, you fat asses.
See you later. Bye.
You know, I thought he could have been a little nicer after you did that favor
you
for
would
him.
Think.
I tried. Here's some more info on the jumper. Charles.
Hi, Don and Mike. How are you today?
We're doing great.
A little bit more. It's actually the Fort McHenry Tunnel. I got lucky and rolled the dice and took the Harbor Tunnel and got through down to Annapolis pretty quickly, heading back home.
God, that fat ass that called us before. How do you get the Fort McHenry Tunnel and the Harbor Tunnel confused?
I don't know.
Oh, so it was the wrong tunnel?
God, he gave you the wrong tunnel.
Rob!
It is backed up to white marks at least. What a mess.
Now you got a bunch of people.
Attention! Not my fault. It's the fat guy that was hungry. It's not the Harbor Tunnel. It's the Fort McHenry Tunnel. But the same rule applies.
Sure.
I'm speaking just for me, not for Mike. Jump! Jump! In the words of Eddie Van Halen, David Lee Roth, and the Pointer Sisters, jump! Jump around! Jump up, jump down! Jump around!
So how far would the backup be, sir?
It was at least 5 miles by the time I hit there, and that was about 45 minutes ago.
You inconsiderate bastard. Think about what you're doing to all these people trying to drive home. Listen to me! Jump! Either jump or get the F down! And don't forget, there's free Baltimore Blast tickets for you from Live 105.
Does he get them either way? See, here I go. Now, just
if you jump, me,
but then I encourage your
if
behavior.
If you jump, I'll throw in Orioles tickets for your dead wife.
Oh, my God.
Your widow.
Widow jumper.
The widow jumper. Thank you, Rob. All right, goodbye, sir.
Thanks.
And, of course, as always, let's go Yankees.
Hey.
Hey, well, no, we were just talking about the bet that I lost. I got in Sacramento.
Yeah, I know.
So we got the whole thing going on.
Wow.
Okay, one more. You know, we've not done our Barry White tribute yet.
Nope.
We'll do it next. I promise. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, when you come to Sacramento, I want to fight you.
Why?
Well, because you always tell these guys when they piss you off to come down and fight you and sign a waiver. So when you come to Sacramento, I'll fight you, but you sign the waiver so you can't sue me.
He sounds like, you know what, in my experience, this guy sounds like a fighter to me.
But I'm not mad at you.
Are you a fighter, sir?
Well, no, just for fun.
No, but I mean, do you fight a lot?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
Yeah,
I can tell by the tone of his voice.
It would just be for fun, Don. Come on.
I'm not mad at you. Why would I want to get my ass kicked just for fun?
I don't know.
Are you a bar brawler?
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? Are you or aren't you?
Well, I mean, if it comes to it in the bar, I'll kick some ass.
I tell you what, this might not be the most manly of propositions, but I'll offer it to you.
Okay.
Would you like the sword fight?
Do what?
Sword fight.
Sword fight?
And you're not talking about metal swords, right?
No, I'm not.
No, I know what he's talking about.
You're talking about crossing streams.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll flesh sword fight you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Very good.
See you later.
Hey, Rob, looking forward to the happiest part of America?
one more bridge update from Baltimore.
Jay.
Hey, Don, how you doing? There's a cop about 15 yards from me. I'm going to turn my radio real loud. If you get your mega horn on there, I'll
mega horn.
Turn my radio loud.
Get the mega horn.
I'm done with that now. I'm done with that now.
How's that mega horn doing, Don?
Hope somebody else got the message. Can you see the guy from where you are?
What?
No, that's a bad sell.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with those guys, whenever they jump, is that they always do it right at the peak of rush hour.
Yeah, what's up with that?
And the thing is, you never get the payoff.
Oh, well, come on. I mean, do you expect any of this? I saw the movie Falling Down.
They never jump.
You know what pushed them over the edge? Do you remember that movie? It was rush hour on one of the hottest days of the year.
Mm.
So, see, it's not that they pick it. It's that it causes this. That's when it gets them. Just like Michael Douglas when he went down and then he attacked the Korean guy.
85%.
85%. What's wrong with you? Wasn't it? Didn't they flash a temperature in that movie at one point? I think they did.
Probably. Heat doesn't make people happy.
It looked hot.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
It's not as hot today as it was yesterday. It was kidding. They had like the heat index today, but it's not as hot today.
Yeah, on the upper floors of this building, I understand they got a couple of jumpers up there.
Oh, are we happy about that? You know, normally the air conditioning craps out down here where the studios are.
Right.
But today, up on the executive level,
yeah.
There's no AC. Zippo. And it's like my underpants up there.
They got all these people that are coming in to refinance their homes.
Yep.
And they're miserable.
Oh, yeah, because we share space. We got a break. When we come back, really, and I mean this, from the ticker, our tribute to the late, great Barry White.
Last time ever.
Yeah, well, until next year at this time, when it becomes a yearly
tribute. Ah, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This house is so gone crazy.
The Don and Mike Show.
More precious than all the spices you could ever trade. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's still funny. We have dude coming on, Thursday?
Thursday
to do another session.
Up a date?
Yep. Also, this week, Mick Foley's coming in. He was on the phone last month. He's coming in this time.
Hey.
Mankind. And Mike?
Yes.
You'll want to probably stay in a sauna tonight. Candace Bushnell's coming in tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Your former high school prom date that you got nothing off of, who went on to be, you know, she is the Sarah Jessica Parker on Sex and the City.
Damn, I gained, too.
That's her.
I gained after the weekend.
Wear a Hawaiian shirt.
No, I don't need to. You know, you haven't asked me for an update.
Wear black.
How are you doing? I've lost 25 pounds.
Wow.
I've lost 25 pounds.
Wow.
I was 294. I was 269 when I weighed myself Monday.
That's great.
You're kidding me. I've lost two.
Hey, thanks, pal.
No.
Congratulations.
No, listen, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I've lost 25 pounds.
And how long?
Well, I mean, I think I started when we were talking about it. What was that, like 2 months ago we were talking about it? Month and a half?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not asking you. That's incredible.
Thank you, Dr. Atkins.
Congratulations.
That's how I've done it.
Yep.
It works. You know how much I've exercised? This might be a good... I just have to be honest, and I'm not sure whether it's going to, you know, translate into more and more, but I'm not going to stop until it does.
How much have you exercised?
Zero.
None.
But I am going to start doing that because that goes hand in hand, and it comes off quicker if you do that.
Well, good. Well, don't forget...
When was the last time you saw me wearing these nice jeans that I'm wearing here? I usually wear like big baggy shirts and stuff like that. I feel a lot better.
Cool.
I really do.
Well, outstanding. Yeah. I hadn't noticed. Congratulations. Really. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I see you every day.
Right, right, right.
And I just hadn't known. You hadn't said anything about it because you hadn't said anything about it. I had thought, well, it was just one of those.
Long way to go, though. I want to drop a lot more. But, I mean, I'm pretty happy with that. And, you know, I'm not eating any of the, you know, I don't eat bread, I don't eat pasta. I mean, I do the whole thing that anybody that's on any kind of protein diet does, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm, you know, when the New England Journal of Medicine came out with their report about it, and they said some very positive things, and this was about a month ago.
Right.
You know, maybe this is about a month. I actually, you know, started taking it seriously and went with that, What did he write down?
What is your target weight? Still 150 pounds.
Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Rob is funny.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you for not noticing, too. That's, well, no, that's great. That hurt my feelings a little bit.
Mike, I'm not gay. I know.
I
see you.
Right. Just several people had said, you know, something here at the station that had noticed without any solicitation. And, you know, I like doing it this way. Hey, Rob, did you say something to me? Rob said right off the bat.
Well, now, why didn't you tell me, Rob? So I'm like the only schmuck that didn't say anything to him.
Well, I was so taken, I immediately asked if he wanted to make out.
That's right, and we did.
But just a little.
But that was Monday, and then I spiked up a little bit today. So, I mean, it's like more like 2023, and I was... You know, I think Monday was maybe a little dehydration.
I mean that seriously.
Well, you know, when I hit 30, I'll give you a periodic update.
It wasn't a slight on my part.
I understand.
You know,
I see
you up in the office, and we're caught up in all this. I mean, I've only seen you for one day.
When you said get in a sauna because she's coming in. In one way or another, I've kind of figuratively gotten in a sauna over the last month.
Okay,
not really even caring about whether Candace was coming in because I didn't know that until you just said it, but. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I think it would behoove me to exercise a little bit more. But I'm going to do a different kind of exercise, too, than I've ever done before in my life.
Which is
not, you know, get on a treadmill or run or do anything aerobic. I'm going to do a thing that's called, well, there are two versions of it. One's called slow burn. The other's called power of 10. And it's a weight workout, and it's supposed to be go hand in hand with the protein diet. And I'll let you know. I mean, it's interesting stuff. Very unorthodox. I still think Atkins, even though a lot of people have had success, is kind of an unorthodox thing, you know. And I don't want any salesperson hunting me down in the effing hallway, or I will bite your head off.
Mike, LA Weight Loss Center really heard about your weight loss, and they want to get behind you all the way.
But you know, I mean, there's a lot you don't touch. Right. You don't eat sweets, really. You don't eat sugar. You don't eat, you know, you try to keep your carbohydrates eliminated.
You can't.
But I want to thank the Anheuser-Busch Brewing Company, and I will give them.
That beer. I hate that beer.
I love it.
Really. I hate that beer that has no carbs.
Rob, I love it.
I'd rather be fat.
No.
And I am.
You know what? You've talked yourself into it. Maybe I have. But I just like it. I really do.
Yeah, but the other thing is, and more power to it, I've heard a lot of people who have done that, who have gone on the Atkins diet and
carbs.
The weight goes just like that.
Right.
I'm on a diet. I don't even look at carbohydrates. I look at calories.
Right, right. I haven't looked at a calorie at all.
Been 7.5 months. That's why I'm shocked. It took me 7.5 months, and I run my ass off every day to lose 64 pounds.
But you know, really,
I lost 25 pounds in like 2 months. No exercise. That's great.
I have been. Well, you've done this too, haven't you? Haven't you done this, or I thought
no,
you
I,
had?
I started the Atkins diet, and the doctor told me it would kill me. It was before the new stuff came out.
That's true.
It was, you know who it was, Buzz. It was the doctor.
Yeah,
that doctor.
Yeah, no.
He said, "Don't do that. That'll kill you."
There's new information since then. Well, there's a lot of new information, and what the information is the completion of long-term studies, which they never had before. The last time the Atkins thing was coming around, and the one thing they said, I used to think that you don't go on Atkins because you bounce back so much quicker. Mm-hmm. You bounce back the same way as if you're on any other kind of regimen, any diet regimen. But, you know, we'll see. I don't consider this
congratulations.
To be successful, and I'll tell you why. Because I think, really, my eyes are on a much larger goal, and that's when I will be, you know. But I also think everybody's different. And my body and the way I respond to this right now and not eating these certain foods, it's just perfect for me.
It's
I love protein.
Just remember the most
that
important...
sounds gay, doesn't it?
Remember the most important thing of the Atkins plan.
What's that?
Careful on icy streets.
Oh, yes. Because he died hitting his head.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. I'm not ready to like... you know, I'm nervous about it because I want to do a few more.
Good,
you know, when I get to double this amount off, then I can be cocky about it. You know?
Got it.
We'll see what happens.
Well, congratulations, and I certainly didn't mean to slight you.
It feels good. It feels good, as you know. I mean, it's a hell of a feeling that first few pounds that come off.
You know, my trainer had me do the other day was pick up 2 30-pound dumbbells. And she said, no, they weren't people. They were, okay, you know, weight. And she said, just walk in the treadmill for a little while.
Put us down, Don.
Walk on the treadmill with that for a little while.
Yeah.
And I went and I said, my arms are about to fall off. She said, you used to walk around with that much weight.
Right. Right. So, yeah, it's amazing when you lump it all together.
Anyway, congratulations.
Thank you. I'll keep you posted.
Well, now then, change that.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a tanning salon today. Now, and as opposed to the last time she came by,
right?
You, my friend, are available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she's married now.
Well,
yeah, I keep track of her career.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, she's got one of those marriages. Look at that TV show.
Do you know what I said was we are friends, and we are with that, and you know what?
Oil yourself.
Oil myself, shave my body, shave all my visible body hair.
Maybe you could do like Mr. Big did with what's her name on Sunday night. You know, my wife drags me.
I don't want. Yeah. I don't want
my wife
Candy.
She drags me into watching that show.
Yeah. Or Candace, she gets mad when I call her Candy.
Dumb Sex in the City, and I'm watching it with her Sunday night. It's the guy Mr. Big, that guy Chris Knopf.
Yeah,
he's in a hot tub, and he calls up Horseface, and he says to her, hey, baby, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm going to bed now, you know, wearing my matching slippers. Anyway, guy gets his jerk on.
Yeah,
guy has phone sex. Guy has phone sex with her. It's like, I'm watching this with Frida. I say, this is it?
Have you ever done that with somebody you were close to?
Negative.
Never had phone sex?
Negative. You never know. Yeah. The thing is, you don't know who's listening, man.
What do you mean?
You mean on the phone line at the time.
It's a hard line, isn't it?
Well, I guess so. No, I don't know. Proposition makes me oogie.
It's fun.
Okay.
It is. It's fun. It's not like unusual. People have done it before.
Yeah.
I know a lot of
people. I mean, people that, you know, married couples have done it, boyfriend, girlfriends, fiancés. Mm-hmm. You're on the road. You're long distance. You know, it's kind of neat.
I guess. You know, I guess I have. I take it back.
You have?
I have.
Huh.
Or a 1-900 number.
Well, that counts, I guess.
Well, that counts, yeah, too. But, I mean, yeah, it can be done that way, obviously, the industry that they have. But it can also be done with a person.
You know, my wife, though. Christ, been married 22 years. And what am I going to say? What are you doing? Yeah. You know what she'd say? I'm making dinner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. She'd say, what are you doing? Watching TV. It's like, there's
that might not be the question you want to ask to start. The question would be a question we ask on the air quite often. What are you wearing right now?
But I'm afraid that the problem with my wife with phone sex would be the same problem as regular sex. Take too long. It would take too long by the time she got to whatever it was. I'd be done.
See, phone sex, I think, more than any other, it doesn't require that. You know, once you're done, you're done. It's a long distance thing.
Yeah.
And then you can say something like, oh, I got another call coming in.
Yeah, you can't say that to your wife. I mean,
right,
if your wife has got, you know, her arm up to her elbow, you know, she's delivering a calf or something up there. And meanwhile, you on the other side, and they go, oh, that's it, I got to go. Meanwhile, you know, your wife's cradling the phone like this, going, wait, hold on, my arm is stuck. I can't.
Right.
Couldn't do that. Couldn't do it. Just rather bang her in person. Just bang her good and hard.
Well, that's always your first choice.
God.
Right? Yeah.
Sure.
Otherwise, I just do it by, like I told you, I just do it on vacation by myself.
Right.
Like I worked my man like 10 times on vacation.
It was a steamy, sultry vacation.
Lots of hot girls down by the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Go upstairs, go, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Go up there, sit on the toilet. Go, oh, yeah.
You're not Lester Burnham, are you?
No.
Not in the shower.
No. I've never gotten my jerk on in the shower. Never.
You know, actors take all those, non-inhibited courses, you know,
yeah,
so they lose all their inhibitions. Can you imagine doing that scene? Kevin Spacey, you have to have no inhibitions to do that.
Yeah. Well, he's,
He's not really doing it, obviously, I mean, from that angle, but I mean, just, it's just so gross. That is so gross to watch that.
He has an open lifestyle, though.
Well, I suppose he does. The rumors are that he has.
Yeah. Kevin,
I don't think it has anything to do with it, though.
No, what I'm saying is,
I mean, still you're on camera and you're doing that, even if you're pretending to do that with your butt.
Well, you could say the same thing with Judge Reinhold. In Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Another one.
He's working
his... I admire those actors. Mm-hmm. I think it takes a lot of guts.
He's wearing his Captain Hook suit when he's working his man.
And it really is an unflattering. I mean, you think of Judge Reinhold, and then, the dean of it, Ned Beatty.
That's the worst.
Who really, apparently, was stigmatized by that scene in Deliverance where he's given F in the A.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
Come on, squeal.
He never lived this down.
Never.
This is all he was known for. Yeah. This is still his.
Here we go.
That's the tape that's held up.
Yes.
For years and years.
It has indeed.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Turn your radio down.
Somebody has a squeal. They can't turn themselves away from
Don.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, buddy. I got a scanner from Christmas a couple years back, and I went online and got a bunch of frequencies for cordless phones.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody could be listening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're having phone sex on a wireless, phone, of course someone could be listening. You know who's the worst at that? Not only with phone sex, but just anything, is our agent.
Oh, how many times? I was thinking the exact same thing.
You've just been talking to our agent about something that really doesn't matter.
No, don't. It's not a secure line.
We're not talking about government freaking secret.
No.
Don't call me on your cell phone.
I mean, he makes us go through bat caves to talk to him sometimes.
One time he actually said, go to a payphone. I said, go to a payphone. I'm going to go to the radio station. Don't use a phone at the station. They're all bugged.
It's like, it harkens back to when he was an agent in Walnut Grove.
Right.
Because of the party lines and everything, but it's just as safe anywhere.
It's nuts. Don and Mike, hello.
Stay cool.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Don, Mike, Buzz.
Howdy.
Been listening 4 years, and I finally got through, and I just wanted to say hey to Mike. And, I flipped on the radio today, and I was just thinking, damn, Mike's voice sounds about 25 pounds lighter.
Well, God bless you, sir. Thank you very much.
And congratulations, and good luck, and keep on trucking, man.
Thank you very much. It's very nice of you to say that.
Very nice.
I somehow thought he was messing with me. Maybe he was.
He was sincere.
Yeah, I don't know. You know how I am.
He was absolutely sincere.
Yeah, when it comes to some of those callers, it's definitely glass half empty.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Don, Mike, it's Paul from The Legacy. Big fan here.
Right. Hi, Paul.
Listen, what were you saying back to when you were saying you were walking with the weights on the treadmill?
No, the trainer lady just had me do it just to see what it was like, to feel what it was like with 60 extra pounds.
Well, actually, that kind of workout is really, really bad for you.
Yeah, no, my arms were about to fall off after about 60 seconds, and she said, do you get it? You know,
because all the the weights that go around your wrists and your legs and stuff, it puts on too much weight on your knees, and after about 10 years, you start to have really bad knee problems.
All right, thanks, right. Jack. Mr. Lane calling.
Don't do it for 10 years, Don.
Tell your brother me off. I said hi.
See you later.
His cousin of all trades.
Hello, Don and Mike show. One of the off
boys. Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hello.
I know how they did that scene that you talked about with Judge Reinhold in Fast Times.
Yeah.
You know how they did the scene?
I think I've got a pretty good idea, too. Yeah. That Mike does, too. That
They set up the camera outside the bathroom, say, go sit down with your pants around your ankles.
No, what had happened, Judge Reinhold had a rubber lifelike appendage that he was using, and when Phoebe Cates opened the door, when they filmed that scene, she was not expecting that. And she didn't know he was going to do that, and that's how they got that.
No way.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
The reaction when you see
this guy kidding?
No, it's on the director's cut of Fast Times.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. Here we were busting those guys. Wait a minute. She didn't know?
No.
The commentary that they were talking about. That's how they got their reaction that they did.
She didn't know she would see the toy.
Because if you think when she opens the door, she does give a real...
She has such a totally gross reaction.
Yeah.
Hey, that's, we were busting your balls. That's pretty good, though.
That is fantastic.
Wait, what's your name?
I didn't know
Name's
that.
West.
Yeah.
And where are you from?
Calling up from WOYK country, up above York, Pennsylvania.
Right, okay, here you go. Let me give you a month's supply of Slurpees from 7-Eleven.
Oh, that's a great prize.
Thank you very much.
Friday is 7-Eleven's birthday. If you're one of the first 1,000 customers, you get a free 7-Eleven Slurpee. But don't worry.
Man, there is nothing better to drink when you're hot.
You've won a month's supply of 7-Eleven Slurpees.
Mm.
Plus, we give you the Game Freedom Pass. That's good for unlimited game rentals at your local Blockbuster Video.
You know, thank you very much.
Congratulations, sir. We're giving you a prize package that could be enjoyed also by an 8-year-old.
Excellent. I got a 6-year-old. He'll love it.
There you go.
What are you saying? I'd like that prize.
I would, too. Yeah. Look at us.
Anyway, oh, yes, a Blockbuster. You can buy the Game Freedom Pass for $19.99 plus tax. Unlimited game rentals for 30 consecutive days. No extended view if he's only a Blockbuster Video.
Does that qualify him for the skateboard drawing?
It does not. It does not. Thank you. Hold on a second. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hi.
Where's our Barry White at?
Rob.
Oh, Barry White. Yes, we've got it loaded up here.
You know
I promise in the next break.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on. Let me just give you a little. A little, yeah. We'll load that up.
Hang on for a preview, man.
Now, sometimes okay. These previews last a long time.
Oh, no. This is going to be a very quick preview. Our tribute to Barry White.
Thank you.
Are you ready? Hold on. Are you making fun of her?
He is. Yes, he is.
That was beautiful.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Just started.
And once he starts, he can't stop.
No. I'm going to stop after the intro here. We got it all today.
I feel myself slipping in more and more ways. That's super world I'm now. Nobody but you and me. We've got us together, baby.
After the intro.
I can't help myself.
You can't stop when you start this.
My guiding star.
Just think of the good one here.
My kind of wonderful. That's what you are. I know.
Okay, that's all for now.
There you go.
We'll come back. We'll come back with the whole Barry. We got the Barry White... the recording session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Paul Quinn College.
With the commercial and then that. So, yeah, thank you for reminding us.
Thank you.
See you later. We'll be right back. We'll do the whole thing right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Shut up!
Until the next time on Unsavage Airways, this is Michael Savage. Let's go to a caller. If you have an airline horror story, give me a ring right here on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Did you have a worse case than this one?
Hey, Michael Savage. Pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah.
I was flying out of LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And there's two undercover security guards.
Yeah.
Somebody was smoking in the bathroom.
Someone was smoking in the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
Okay. And what happened?
Half hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... Because your teeth are real
all right,
bad.
All right. So you're one of those sodomites.
Yeah.
Are you a sodomite?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that?
Oh,
why don't you think you can sue me, you pig?
Shut up!
You got nothing better than to put me down, you piece of garbage? You got nothing to do today? Go eat a sausage and choke on it. Get trichinosis. Okay, we have another nice caller here.
Shut
he's busy
up.
Because he didn't have a nice night in the bathhouse. Is angry
shut
at me
up.
Today?
Shut
huh? Get me another sodomite on. No more calls, I don't care. Let's go to the next scene. I don't care about these bums. They mean nothing to me. They're all sausages. Next scene. On to the next scene on the Savage Nation.
Click.
The Don and Mike Show. Shake a hand. Have a word with Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
And I I know we beat this to death today in our opening segment. But I want to say I am pissed at Radio and Records, and especially at RadioAndRecords.com. And Tony Novia, my former intern who's now an editor there.
Right.
Shame on you. The headline, you know, they do a morning and an afternoon update.
Have they just updated it?
Yeah. The update for the afternoon says, Michael Savage apologizes. Talk radio, blah, 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 blah. After reportedly told an unidentified male to call her, call him a sodomite, told him he should get AIDS and die. So then you click on for more details.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you go, oh, let me see, today's news. All right, well, where's the update?
You have to bear with me. Our computers are very, very slow.
Mm-hmm. Here it goes. So, update. Savage said the incident was misrepresented and he was set up by a crank caller from a competing talk show, Westwood One's Don and Mike show. Savage claims he signaled his MSNBU, who have made vicious personal attacks against me.
But say that again. What was it? Because that's the important part.
Savage said the incident was misrepresented and he was, quote, set up by a crank caller from a competing talk show, Westwood One's Don and Mike show, who Savage said made vicious personal attacks against me.
Okay.
There's no other way that you could... We're not going to rehash this whole thing again.
Has anyone from our network commented on this, or do they have anybody? Was that done?
What's Dum Dum's number?
Which one?
Alan Dum Dum.
Oh, he's the best one. 460.
460. You know how foolish I was to believe earlier today.
I told you.
Yeah, I know. I
don't do that very often, but I said, you know.
The Westwood One was going to handle this. I promise. We'll get right to the Barry White thing. All right, did I throw that thing away?
Hello, this is Alan Line One.
Oh, hey. Shut up.
Useless tool.
I mean, we would like to have our people make a statement. We don't speak to the press. We don't do that.
We're not allowed. That's something on our new contract. We're not allowed to speak to the press.
Right.
Because they're afraid the truth might get out. So
they're not aware of the fact that the truth will set you free.
Our whole thing was, how about somebody from this company
responding to that?
Hey, Alan.
Yes.
It's Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, we're just looking at R&R Online. We're on the air, of course. We're looking at R&R Online.
Tell me.
And we don't see anything from Dana. There's nothing. They got an update. Michael Savage's lead story update, but there's nothing there.
All right. Well, I'm sure I'll hear back from him.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks again. Thanks for the support.
Hey, you got a lot of it today.
A lot of support.
Really kind of important we get our word in there, I think, sooner than later.
You know, because the more everybody in the industry is reading this thing, and we're still glommed in there with him on this thing.
You know my feelings.
What are your feelings?
You know.
No, I don't know. What are your feelings?
We'll talk about it later.
Let's talk now. You're among friends. Let's talk now. What are your feelings?
I'm amongst a million friends.
It's not like it's time sensitive. What are your feelings?
No, listen, I agree with you. What else do we need to talk about?
Do you think... Well, let me hear you say it. You're a management person.
Go ahead.
No, let me hear you say it. How do you feel about the fact that Mike and I were misrepresented in our portrayal of Michael Savage wishing AIDS on someone and sodomy and et cetera?
I think it was an inappropriate alignment with that situation yesterday. Your show should have been nowhere near it.
It's too bad that nobody from this company had the balls to call any of these trade magazines to say anything. And, you know, we can't because you made us sign that goddamn contract that says we can't talk to the press. So what are we supposed to do?
We just want somebody to do that for us because we can't counter this.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay. Right,
thanks. Tell Dana I hope he had a nice day off.
You mean the contract with a lot of zeros?
God.
Yeah.
Did you have a bad day, Alan?
Hey, Alan, incidentally, how's the revenue coming in from this show? A lot of zeros there, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
You got me.
Right. Okay, bye. Bye. Well, at least I'll console myself. I'll be the only guy in America watching Big Brother 4 tonight.
You will be.
I do like Big Brother. I've always liked
Big Brother 4. You mean they've had a 4?
Big Brother 4,
I didn't know they had 2 after the 1.
And they're bringing in the exes.
Mm-hmm.
Like
really?
The people that they have not locked in the house, the crazy people. They're bringing in like their ex-wives and ex-girlfriends and ex-husbands.
Very cool.
With it. Now, is that a uniquely American phenom, or did they do the exes in Britain, too?
No, the whole thing is ripped off from Britain. They did that in Britain when the show got boring in Britain.
Wow. That's pretty good.
It is a sad day.
Yes.
It was sad 2 days ago, but we just haven't had time to get to it. That Barry White is dead. And even with all our kidding, like with Elvis, we're big Barry White fans.
Of course.
Let's start with the tape. Because if we start with the music, we'll totally lose track of time.
This is true.
So let's start with the tape.
No, not that.
It's Barry White trying to record a commercial. And as far as I can tell, we're the only guys on earth with this tape.
Take it out.
It's one of our favorites of all time. I don't know who we got it from. But it's Barry White, the late Barry White, trying to record a commercial.
Take it out.
And rather than just do like one line or two lines or get down a paragraph,
right.
The poor son of a bitch keeps starting over again from the very beginning.
And it is a very funny, one of our funnier commercial recording tapes.
It's right up there with the Colonel Sanders tape.
It is. It is, absolutely.
So now in tribute, part one of our tribute to the late Barry White, here's the world famous recording studio session.
Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May, to be an array of international stars and celebrities. From all over, from the world. Doing it again. Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi.
Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is Saturday and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. For the first thing to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th in Waco, Texas. I'm cutting a spot, Tony.
And that's a highlight.
Yeah. Right.
I'm cutting an effing spot.
Guy like walks in on him when he's in doing the session.
I'm cutting an effing spot, Tony.
Jesus.
Jeez.
Hi, this is Barry White. And Paul Quinn College cordially invite you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday.
Invite you. It's horrible copy, in fairness to him.
In Waco, Texas. Saturday and Sunday.
It is so bad.
Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi.
And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. Hi, this is Barry White. And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Waco, Texas, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. This gala weekend will include the welcoming of celebrities, reception on Friday.
Now he's doing well.
Second,
but it's still bad copy.
Of tennis tournament. The first, second, and third round. Hi, this is Barry White. Hoffman College cordially invites you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. One more time. Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi.
And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Waco, Texas. Welcoming celebrities, some reception on Friday. Let's take it after the 8th, 9th, and 10th.
There you go. Now he finally figures out.
Yeah. I can splice it together.
Right. Hi, this is Barry White.
Uh-huh.
So now he's finally figured out, let's just pick it up from where the copy really gets confusing.
Right. And he switches it to a beautiful weekend at some point.
Yeah, you're right, he does.
And this might be what he does.
Do it over. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend.
There you go.
In Waco, Texas, on Friday. This ass these words up, man. I mean, he's got words that he don't even need.
Right.
He's right.
Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi, Barry.
And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend.
No, I take it back. He doesn't go all the way.
He goes back to the beginning and then he rewrites it to beautiful weekend, which is the right thing to do because invites you to a weekend is wrong.
It's dumb. In Waco, Texas, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. This gala weekend will include the welcoming celebrity reception on Friday, the first, second, and third rounds of the tennis tournament, the Barry White concert with the Love Unlimited Orchestra, of course.
Of course.
And the post-concert reception on Saturday.
in a championship semi finals. Go, this man, I'm gonna lay cut this shit off. All right, fuck this. I'm gonna take it up to
F this.
That's a Love Unlimited Orchestra. That's where I'm gonna stop at. So hey, get your tickets now. Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi, Barry.
From Tarquin College in Cordially. Come on down. Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi.
And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend on Friday, Saturday, just a bit. Hi, this is Barry White.
Hi, Barry.
And Paul Quinn College. Lord Jesus.
Anyway. Man, oh, yeah. That is, you know what? Great. Fantastic.
He will be missed.
Yep. And this year, for the first time ever, we have one more outtake from the Barry White session.
Ooh.
Listen very carefully.
Congratulations. This is Max Baer Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
You're carrying that over.
Yep.
Once a week, we try to sneak it in.
Once a week, that'll be in there.
It counts as our Buddy Epson tribute, because we're not going to have time for the Buddy Epson tribute today.
Yeah, the Buddy Epson tribute can't be anything next to the Barry White tribute.
Okay, and we'll get to the music. And the farts, not going to start it now. Watch the discipline.
Okay.
Watch the discipline.
Oh, no.
I've heard people say.
Okay, I'm not disciplined. No. No, stop it. What? Be right back. Goodbye, Barry White. Yes. More coming up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
I know we got limited time to do the Barry White thing here, but I just have to see if this guy's on the phone, he's going to get some prizes. Every day, Rob and I play a game to see who will wait on the line the longest.
All right.
And we got a winner today, I think.
Yeah.
It was over an hour ago that we heard about the jumper
right on
the bridge in Baltimore.
Right.
And the guy named Dave, if he's still there, according to our screen, has been waiting 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 15 seconds
on hold with his cell phone
to say the cops should just shoot the guy.
Wow.
Let's see now.
And remember, you have to give the full rules of the game. If it's a really great comment like that, something that really merits saying, bonus points.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
So he's been waiting 1 hour and 8 minutes to say the cops should shoot the guy. Something that we talked about over an hour ago.
Right.
If he's still there, I swear to God, I'm giving him prizes.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey!
Now you're obviously not in your car. You're on a hard line.
Yes, I am.
Hi!
1 hour and 8 minutes.
Wow. What did you want to say, caller?
I just think that either the state police or whomever is out there should just shoot him and give us all more oxygen to share amongst ourselves so we're not idiots.
1 hour and 8 minutes. Congratulations. You've won the Lara Croft Tomb Raider Angel of Darkness PlayStation 2 game.
Oh. Now, did you just watch this on TV or were you in the traffic?
No, I'm just sitting here, and I was just listening to you guys.
Get your PlayStation 2 version at www.tombraider.com. Plus, you won the Star Trek Nemesis DVD and a free large pizza from Papa John's. Order Star Trek Nemesis on in-demand pay-per-view from Comcast Cable. But wait,
more?
There's more. Wow. That's right. Everybody wants them. A month's supply of Slurpees from 7-Eleven.
One of the best prizes we've ever given away.
Friday, 7-Eleven's birthday. If you're one of the first 1,000 customers on Friday, you get a free 7-ounce Slurpee.
That is really one of the greatest products ever invented.
But congratulations, you won the Lara Croft PlayStation game, the Star Trek Nemesis, and a month worth of Slurpees because you waited on the line for 1 hour and 8 minutes.
Do they ever have Slurpees that are made with diet sodas?
Yeah, they've just started it, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
And the good thing is that guy has no danger of getting a brain freeze.
Hold on just a second. All right. Let me load everything up here.
All right, here we go.
Already? This is very sad. I know we're laughing, but this is sad.
Yeah, it's sad. It's not the same. It certainly lost a little bit of its luster.
Sad. We used to just do this on his birthday.
I know.
Like the year.
Or when he was in the news.
But now, it's our tribute to the late, great Barry White.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is good for your baby. But I don't know about that. Many times that we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough. It's just not enough.
Funnier when it was like the idea of him being on the stage somewhere in America.
Oh, come on.
I can't fake it.
The first year that Elvis died, did you
right.
feel that way? Look at all the stuff we do about Elvis now.
The first year Elvis died, I wasn't on the radio.
I didn't know you then. But, all right, do you think next year you'll be warmed up to it again?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, if it doesn't go well, I think maybe, really, what we have to do is find another fat singer.
Impossible.
To replace. But the music is part of the rhythm.
You know, John Goodman sang on the soundtrack of Blues Brothers 2000.
See?
Hold on, let me get...
John Goodman commercial.
Give me another one with lots of talk on it. Hold on a second. There's a good one with lots of talking on it.
Take it off.
See, he'll laugh for you.
Baby, take it off.
I know. That's okay. That's why you're you, Mike.
Hurts
tribute.
Building.
I got the right one now.
Got the right one. Yeah, both say, both are correct.
Oh,
as they say, he'd been ill for some time.
Jesus.
Barry White.
Oh, man.
Our tribute.
There we go. And, oh.
Lordy. Our best.
Do you remember the first time you did that?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I love it every time. I know a lot of people don't like it. I like it. I like the puking with the Karen Carpenter record.
A lot of people love it.
Didn't the Widow White once yell at you at a recording session?
Yeah, she did. Oh, when I was out in California.
Yeah, for Angelo, right?
With Leah Remini's boyfriend at a recording session, I thought the levels were all off.
Right.
And the woman was singing horribly, and she came across the glass, and she said, "Baby, do you know who I am?" I said, "No, ma'am. I am Mrs. Barry White. You sit your white ass down and keep your opinions to yourself."
That's when you were out there that night after the taping of the show.
Yeah, right. After Leah's TV show.
He will be missed.
Yeah. There you go. Our tribute to Barry White.
No more ads for Paul Quinn College.
Well, next year there will be.
Next year, yes. On the air, once a year. Used to be like when he'd swing through town.
Reads in the news.
Yeah.
Oh, ho, ho.
It's still funny, but it's different.
Time heals all wounds, Mike.
I hope so. I hope so. Maybe I'm just, Don, maybe I'm just in mourning.
Maybe so. Well, then you can appreciate these people. Saying it's a travesty, what we've just done. It's a travesty. Hello, here's Dickhead calling from Dickheadville.
Yeah. I think it's a travesty in radio history, the stupidity that you guys are displaying when it comes to Barry White.
Mm-hmm. And you're continuing to listen, though.
Actually, I turned my radio off.
Oh, no. You continue to listen. You just didn't change the channel. You continued to listen.
I turned my radio off.
How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
20.
You're a young dickhead.
Wow. Yeah, actually, yeah, I am a young dickhead.
Well, okay, then we're in.
I'm young, dumb, and full of spunk.
Yeah, okay, all right.
That's right.
Whatever.
But you know what I'm saying, though, is...
No, what I'm saying is that...
There you go. Dial tone.
Here's the mayor of Dickheadville.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Dickheadville.
Hey, why do you guys go rag on your listeners, man? Aren't we the people that support you and appreciate
what you do? Oh, yeah. All we do is rag on our listeners. We've said, you know, Jesus Christ, you just don't get it, do you?
Yeah, I do get it.
No, you don't get it. Somebody calls up to give us a hard time, and what are we supposed to do? Say, hey, thank you very much for your contribution.
You think we were ragging on listeners when that guy waited for an hour and 15 minutes and we gave him a great prize package? Was that ragging on our listeners?
No, that wasn't. I referred to the two calls you just got and called them dickheads. That's ragging on.
No, that was one call, and then you're the second call. And I only said that because both of you guys don't get it. You're calling to complain about a Barry White thing. Hey, dude, if you don't like it, change the station.
Hey, listen to what? NPR?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Yes, whatever you like. Or buy a CD player for your car. Or buy a cassette player. But get off my ass.
Why don't you just take some constructive criticism? What's wrong?
I don't, because I'm kicking ass without any help from you.
Oh, geez, you're so good, aren't you?
I am.
Don't you stop disrespecting the dead?
I am. I'm not disrespecting my audience. Most of my audience agrees with me. You're an ass. If you think you can do better, why don't you get into the radio business, hook yourself up with someone real talented like Mike, and then you come on and you take the world by storm. But until then, last time I checked, I'm talking into the microphone and you're listening on the speaker in your car.
Oh, great. So you're Mr. Big Man, huh? Because you got a microphone.
Yes, I am. Correct. I'm glad you understand.
And you know why that isn't? Because we'll have a very big microphone in front.
I understand that you understand the way things are. I'm here because I'm great.
So
you're there because you're not so great. That's just a fact. I can't help it.
I don't have a microphone. I have a radio show, so I'm not great.
Right.
That gives you the liberty to disrespect the dead.
It's not necessarily greatness, sir. It's the potential of greatness.
And it's really a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
To what, talking to a microphone?
Yes, to entertain millions of people on their way home. And you, my dim-witted friend, what you don't understand is in your own way, you're contributing. Because around America, people now are laughing at you, someone who takes a 5 to 10 minute bit so seriously that you got to call in like this is NPR.
No, I just said I'm a long-time listener. I just think you're drunk.
And we've done this bit for the last 10 years. So what, this is the one that pushed you over the edge?
Yeah, so playing fart noises and laughing amongst yourselves, you think that's
yeah.
You do not think fart noises are funny?
Yes, I do think that's funny.
No, I think fart noises are funny, but when you do it for like a Martha Stewart or somebody that's living in you.
We have.
You know, disrespect the dead,
oh,
you
please.
Know?
please.
And
it's okay to disrespect the alive, but not okay to disrespect the dead.
Oh, sure. Why not?
All right. Well, hold on. I just want to make sure I got the morality according to you. So it would be okay to play fart sounds with someone who's alive, but not someone who's dead. Even though the person who's alive could hear it.
Right. So doesn't that make sense? Someone's alive, they can take it, they can call you up, or they can offer you feedback. Someone that's dead has passed away.
Hitler's dead.
It should be something called...
Hold on, Buzz just had a good thought.
Hitler's dead. Should we not speak ill of him?
You should speak ill of him.
It would be okay to play fart sound effects during a Hitler speech.
What would fart sounds and Hitler have to do with each other?
I have an answer. I read a book one time that said Hitler suffered from flatulence.
Yeah, chronic flatulence.
I wouldn't mind hearing it.
Hey, dude, and listen, as far as your stuff with you don't respect your audience, I do respect my audience, and I think our audience is smarter than you. I just highlight dumb guys like you. Like, your opinion matters. If everybody thinks like you do, then we're going to be out of a job and no problem. But for the last 30 years, every once in a while I get a call from a guy like you, a know-it-all guy, who's positive what we're doing is wrong. Well, if that's the case, I'll be out of a job very soon. But I've been hearing dicks like you for 30 years.
Dicks like me? Dick? I'm a dick? You're calling me a dick now?
I called you a dickhead before. Now I'm just calling you a dick.
You've been promoted.
Well, geez, I appreciate gratitude. No,
Try to find a word. Search for the word.
Hey, hold on. You want to hear some more of your peers? Here are some of your peers calling in. Paul.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Hey.
Hey, listen, tell this jack-off to be quiet. That was the funniest thing I've heard in so long. Don and Mike are the funniest guys ever. If you don't like them, don't listen to them. Turn the radio off.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
That is really the advice.
Hey, I'm laughing.
You can't use the S word.
That's pretty funny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, this is Rob. I want to tell you, fart noises are funny. I don't care who makes them.
There you go. And you know what? And I agree with Rob.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air with this guy.
Hi, I would just like to say that this guy's a a-hole. He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about.
Hello? Don't fight? This guy's an a-hole. Yeah, right. Okay, I'm the a-hole.
No, you know what, sir? You just like being on the radio.
And continue to listen, though. Continue to listen, because, you know, it's like Howard Cosell. Did you ever read about, you probably haven't read, but you probably were read to as a child, that Howard Cosell was most the both admired and liked and the hated most person on sports TV.
Absolutely, right.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a crap if you like us or hate us, or me in particular. You're listening and you called. So I won. The only way you win is by not listening and not calling. And I know you'll continue to listen to the show. You're like a rat on crack. I don't give a crap about your opinion about a bit we've done.
You're so smart, you don't even understand the point of my call.
I am very smart. I understand your point, and I'm saying that perhaps the show is not for you.
No, I enjoy your show. It's just sometimes...
Just parts of it. Tell me something. When you watch Saturday Night Live and they do a bit that you don't think is particularly funny, do you call up there? Do you call up and say, hey, Tina Fey, this is Dickhead from Maryland. I didn't like the way that you did that story on the news about the Pope. Did you do that?
Well, Don, you can't pick up the phone and call NBC at 12
o'clock. Exactly. That's right. But you would if you could, right? Because you're so smart. Listen, my friend.
It's not a matter of being smart.
Get back on the bridge. Get back on the bridge.
This is the jumper, ladies and gentlemen.
Get back on the bridge.
I knew he'd go.
Hey, if you meet me there, I'll get on the bridge.
Oh, go away.
Go to hell.
Why don't you go away first?
Oh, now it's always like this with these guys, isn't it?
Well, yeah. He lost credibility with me inside of 5 seconds because he really doesn't have an issue. His issue is getting his voice on the radio for as long as he can.
Oh, okay. Why don't you take a look at the mirror and start making fart jokes about yourself?
Why don't you prove me wrong, sir? If you think I'm wrong, why don't you prove me wrong?
And before you hang up, I'll tell you, we have many times about ourselves. Many more times than you'll ever know.
Oh, I hear you guys talk about yourselves all the time. What makes you think I don't think you talk about yourselves?
Oh, God. He could go on for 2 hours.
All right, hang up now.
Hey, why? We finished the conversation?
Yes.
Well, when you apologize for being disrespectful for the memory of Barry White,
is your mother dead?
God forbid, man. How low can you go?
He's not even serious.
Man. I know.
I mean, it's like my crap detector.
That's why I said that. I said, is your mother dead? I just asked
God
a question.
God forbid. What are you talking about? My
I just asked
dead.
A question. Is your mother dead?
God knows she's not dead. Is your mother dead?
To me, yes.
Why would you put something like that up in my face?
I was wondering, because you've got this thing about death. I was wondering if anyone close to you was dead.
Well, I've had people around me, but I have a sake of...
Have you ever laughed? Have you ever laughed at a tragic situation? I guess you've never laughed at anything tragic. You know,
have you ever laughed at a funeral?
I've never laughed at a funeral.
Have you ever laughed at a funeral?
I can't recall I've done that.
I have, and well, sometimes it lightens the mood.
Have you ever seen a very awful situation, a tragic situation, and you've heard someone make a joke that was horribly out of left field, yet you laughed at it?
I think you're reaching for some sort of logic, you know.
We don't want that.
Yeah, I'm making a point here.
Yeah, and God forbid that point be a little bit logical, like was just made.
So what you're saying is it's okay to laugh at a tragic situation.
I think this show has mocked and laughed at death from the very, very beginning.
And we will mock and laugh at our own deaths.
Up above, as we're looking down on you.
Wouldn't that be hard to do if you're already dead?
No, we're going to do it in heaven.
And we're going to invite your mom to the party.
Yeah, dude, don't be dissing my mom, okay?
Why? Yeah, your mom.
Hey, dude, like your mom cares.
Because my mom's what?
Like your mom cares. You're a disappointment to her.
She cared last night.
Your mom is a big disappointment to you. As a matter of fact, I want to read you an email. I happen to know, where are you calling from, Maryland?
Yeah, so should I diss on your wife? Do you appreciate that? What about your mother? Should I start dissing your mother?
Go ahead. I hate that bitch. I guess you've never heard me talk about
her. Yeah, your adopted mother. Oh, okay, sure, you're adopted. Well, my mother's not adopted.
I got a letter from your mom, an email right here. Dear Don and Mike, at approximately 6 o'clock today, my retarded son will call your show and complain about a very funny Barry White bit. Please tell him he was one hanger away from being aborted. Love, Mom.
Oh, jeez, you really insulted me. So now you're dissing my mom.
You know, buddy, I know you. Right? I know you backwards and forwards. You don't. You could care less. We could say
here's what you don't
anything
get.
To you, and your love is to stay on the radio.
What you don't get is what I told you from the beginning, which is the truth. We're the guys with the show. If you didn't like it, you wouldn't be listening. If you really didn't like it, you wouldn't stay on the line this long.
He wants to be on it as long as he can.
And what you don't get is that we only put you on for our amusement. And now, I'm done being amused by you and your act.
Is there any final word you'd like to say?
Any final?
They always fall for that one.
They always fall.
Do you realize I think I'm batting 1,000 on that one?
They always do.
Jesus Christ.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Oh, God.
He made it up.
No, Buzz, I'm sorry we ate into your news time, but that was a good one.
He was raring to go.
That was a good one. Would you like to make one last statement?
Yeah, it takes a...
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight?
Today, Elvis had good teeth and good hair, and now both are up for sale.
Oh, no.
I saw this on eBay. You are a great
citizen. Stay tuned for news and comments.
News and comments. Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. Mike?
Yes, Don?
That was very...
professional.
Right. Oh, hold on. Where's the... Oh, there it is, right there.
This... is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Where an uninformed listener is our best customer. The Don and Mike Show.
Amen to that. It's time for Buzz's News.
The cheese in the devil's mousetrap.
Hold on.
Don and Mike.
All right. Thank you, dude. A Buzz the News brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure Performance and Cancer. It is doctor developed.
Someone called for a doctor?
Clinically tested Veramax works. Get it right at GNC. Other select retailers call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. You are a great newsman. Now here is Buzz with news about Elvis's tooth.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Some of the hair that was cut from Elvis Presley's head as he joined the army is for sale on eBay.
So is one of Elvis's teeth, which was saved by his former girlfriend, Linda Thompson.
I bet it's decayed.
You are a great tooth.
And to complete the package, a gold record of the Elvis hit Love Me Tender, all in one package, the hair, the tooth, and the record.
Now, I got on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Rob called me very excitedly this morning.
Of course. Where they're selling this stuff?
Elvis's tooth is on eBay.
Yep.
Did they have a picture?
Yes. It's like in, you know those little plastic cubes that you put like baseballs in?
Right, exactly.
A little plastic cube like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the price, the current price, knowing that on eBay a lot of it's BS, but the current price, the last time we looked, was, how much are we, $116,000?
$116,000 this morning.
And it hadn't met the reserve price yet.
You'll be delighted at this news, then.
Yes.
The bidding started at $100,000. You said it was up to what, $116,000?
$116,000 this morning.
Okay. Now over 6 bids have been made so far. The bidding is now up to $479,000.
Has it met the reserve?
Oh yeah, easily.
Wow.
Yeah.
For Elvis's tooth and one of his hairs.
But $100,000 wasn't the reserve, so it had to be something like $150,000 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, they're well past that now at $479,000.
You're a great tooth.
You know, the fact is, I think the reason it's getting this is because, in the event that we do make progress with DNA and cloning, you can have the tooth and make yourself an Elvis.
You are a great guy. Thank you so much.
Hey.
That's not the reason I bid on it.
Why?
For the taste.
Oh, Rob. Right, that's right. Rob would have it installed in his own mouth.
You know, and I mentioned this yesterday. It's nothing to, well, it kind of does. I read this book on vacation by James Patterson.
Uh-huh.
And he normally writes these cheesy Michael Crichton-like detective books about Alex Cross.
Right.
Like his books get made into movies like Along Came a Spider.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a book called The Lake House,
yeah,
which is nutty science fiction about, I don't give it away if you want to buy it, but if you read the sleeve on the inside, it's about these mutant kids that have wings,
cool,
and can fly, and they're kept in captivity. And then the preamble to the book is a page and a half from this guy, James Patterson, saying, what you're about to read is my best-selling book worldwide because so many people and scientists have told me that this type of thing is really happening.
Wow.
No.
Do you have any idea?
I'm scared.
I mean, I heard that, and how many people are going to go out and buy that book
and
right now?
Then you said that thing about Elvis's tooth.
And cloning.
Mm-hmm. And there's a part in the story where one of the bad guys comes out, and it's not the real guy. The girl with the wings knocks him at his...
Is it sci-fi that's like believable, like with technology in the future, or is it sci-fi like Star Trek stuff?
No. It's absolutely... today's technology.
No, I gotta get it.
And
I gotta read that.
Without using any names, it sure did read like one of the people that was, well, I'm gonna give too much away. But if you read between the lines, it involves current world leaders.
Cool.
Mm.
Including like maybe former presidents who are suffering from Alzheimer's.
Really?
Who might want to get into a program called Resurrection.
Oh.
Where they could have their brain put into the body of like a 40-year-old man.
Sounds like little Stephen King, spooky stuff
out
there.
It's not scary like that. It's good. It's like, I read it's a 340
page. Does it have any scary moments?
Not really. I read the whole book in a day. I really liked it.
Well, you read fast.
I really liked it.
How many pages is it?
About 340.
Show off.
big print, though, Mike.
Still would take me the better part of... I'd finish it by Halloween.
And I'll tell you something else about James Patterson that pisses me off about his books.
Okay.
His chapters... And it really annoyed me about halfway through. Chapter 29 is a page and a half. It's just a way of jipping you out of pages.
No, see, well, I like that.
It's kind of he finished the chapter, and then you can turn the nightlight out.
You feel good about yourself. Hey, I read a chapter.
No, but it's like it's a page and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you read fast.
Yeah.
Slow readers, we dig the page and a half chapters.
Page and a half, and it's like, wait a minute, that's the chapter?
Well,
that's
a bed.
So there's like 87 chapters in this goddamn
book. It might be the reason I don't read as much as I used to. I've always considered it to be a task.
You are a great book.
Thank you.
I read you on One Day on the Beach, and now this story has made me think of The Lake House by James Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis's tooth is on eBay for $400,000.
I must recommend a great book to you.
Yeah.
The Lobster Chronicles by Linda Greenlaw. You know, she was a lady, the other sword boat captain in Perfect Storm. Yeah.
You are a great fag.
But you know how many pages I read?
No, I
two.
My wife read that book, as a matter of fact.
It's a good book. She can write.
It's not up my alley. I like the dumb stuff like this guy.
And you like nonfiction also. You like to read about profiles of people. And
yeah,
stuff like
absolutely.
That.
But this guy is like Michael Crichton. He must just sit on the toilet and must just BM out these bestsellers.
Well, before they made the movie, Disclosure was one of my favorite books. Mm-hmm. By Michael Crichton.
Oh, I got an idea about kids with wings. Hold on, let me see now. He squeezes it out. 340 pages.
Wow.
You know, this is totally off topic.
No.
But I have to tell you something. My wife was reading a book when we were on vacation called Running with Scissors.
Uh-huh.
She was telling me, you know, your parents are effed up, meaning my parents, my adoptive parents. She said, you have no idea how effed up this guy's parents are, the people who...
You find this amusing, Frida.
People who were in this book, this kid was an orphan, and he was raised by a family, and the dad was a psychiatrist. And the dad was so nuts that he judged their fortune and their futures by his bowel movements. So what he would do is, he would, and any of you people who have read this book, I think it was like an Oprah book or something, Running with Scissors, what he would do is he would...
It's a true story?
Yes. Wow. He would take a dump, and he would send one of his kids... down to the bathroom with a scooper thing,
and
they would have to put the turd on the on the table in the backyard on the picnic table, and then he would study the turd, and if the end of the turd was pointed up in the air, it meant that they were in for money. And one time he had a turd where the tail was pointed up, and sure enough, they won $1,000 in the lottery. Another time he had a turd that was full of corn, and when his kid brought it out and they laid it on the table, he said, this is a good sign because this means your daughter, my daughter, your sister, is going to marry a farmer. And for a while,
he ate corn the night before.
I know, but for a while, I guess, there were, I don't know how many turds were on this guy's back porch on the
pantry. And he'd leave them there?
Yeah, and he was a psychiatrist.
Wow.
And Oprah was pushing this.
I think it was an Oprah.
Wow.
Buzz, I'm sorry. I know we're totally off.
I gotta tell you, though, it's the second book you've mentioned. You know, maybe you could take a page from Oprah.
Yeah.
Johnny's Book Club.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and boy, I gotta say this.
Hello?
Hey, baby?
Yes, my boo.
That book was Running with Scissors, right? The one where the guy would lay out...
Yeah, it's a bestseller.
Where the guy would lay out the turds for the kids?
Yeah.
Remember on the on the picnic table?
Right, mm-hmm. That's right. Right, because he thought he could foretell a future from the shape. His psychiatrist stepdad. It was interesting.
Wow.
All right, thanks, baby.
Bye, sweetie.
All right, bye. And Oprah. I never get to watch Oprah because we're always on when she's on. I watched her a couple of times last week. One day I was, my book club, honey, my book club is so, I've dropped the book club, but I brought it back now. And she brought back some classic book by, I don't even know who it is, one of these classic art.
In a classic?
Yeah.
Steinbeck,
that's it.
What, Of Mice and Men?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it beat Hillary Clinton. In the overall, so she's crowing about this on her TV show. You know, all I had to do was find a classic book, and my book club's back. And honey, we're back at number one on the bestseller list. We beat Hillary Clinton. Then the other thing is, there was a woman in the audience who said one day, "Oprah, I love you. Everybody in my town of Natchez, Mississippi, loves you."
Mm-hmm.
So Oprah says now, after the woman leaves the audience, says, "Here's the surprise." She says everybody in Natchez, Mississippi loves me. I'm going to Mississippi, and I'm going to see if everybody loves me. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking...
How what a ego.
You know, you pompous bitch. So they show Oprah getting on her private jet, her Gulfstream,
mm-hmm.
and going down to Mississippi, where she's in a gigantic parade of a big, like presidential, you know, the black Suburbans with the tinted windows.
Right.
And they show her, she's got all of her security and bodyguards, and she goes and she knocks the woman's door, and it's like, the woman opens the door, and she goes... Oh, my God, it's Oprah. She goes, I'm here. You told me people love me, and I'm here to surprise you. Take me around town and let me see how much people love me.
Just kind of a me fest.
Wow.
And the whole show...
Was there anybody that hated her?
No. Well, that sucked. The whole show was like the mayor coming out and saying hello, and just shots of people driving by and going,
we love you, Oprah. And Oprah's standing there going, they really must love me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You were right. Everybody in this town loved me. Isn't it a good thing that I came down here to see you because I'm so great and you love me and everybody in town? I'm watching this. I'm saying to my wife, why do you watch this bitch on TV? I mean, really?
Pretty amazing stuff.
I give her credit. She's an incredible businesswoman. Mm-hmm. She's done a hell of a job of turning around TV. But Christ, she makes me look modest. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Just doing that bit, the concept of doing that bit mm-hmm. doesn't make any sense.
The pomposity, the first day coming on, so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, I pulled a book out that hadn't been read for 100 years, and I said for 1 week, we have beaten Hillary Clinton. It is the only book that could bring back my book club.
She's got the power.
And then the next day, she said she loved me. So you know what I did? I got on my plane. I went down to surprise her.
Right, because you're
so scary fascinating. Jesus Christ.
Is that when you threw the TV out the window?
I was just sitting there, and my wife and my sister-in-law love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're like, sure.
Hey, you know, my sister. Don't say that.
Oprah's great.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah's great.
No, and you know, my mom, same thing. Oprah.
Mm-hmm. I would just say stuff like, do you think Oprah takes her BMs out of the toilet and puts them on her picnic table in the backyard?
Just remember the foundation of Oprah hating men. The man hater, the original man hater.
That's right.
Yeah. Those were the man hater shows that catapulted her to the top.
Amen, brother. All right, Buzz. I'm sorry.
No, it's quite all right. The last time any of Elvis's hair went up for sale, they got $115 for that lock of hair. This package of hair, teeth, and the gold record are said to be certified.
Same thing to the Dermalite.
Yes, in a tumor. They're said to be certified genuine by the Presley Museum, but wait just a cotton picking minute, says Elvis Enterprises spokesman Todd Morgan.
Yeah, I know you're not Todd Morgan.
No, you're not Todd Morgan.
And that's not the real tea. Dog.
He says the items may be real, but they're not certified.
They're not certified.
Hey, you're a great tooth.
I don't know.
Great tooth.
Britney Spears says she wishes she'd never banged Justin Timberlake.
She was a whore.
Oh, Buzz, hold on.
Yes?
Rob is just actually, are you touching me to touch me, or are you touching me to say commercials?
Can I multitask?
We'll be right back, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tra-la-la, la-la-la, little Debbie. The Don and Mike Show.
Howdy, Buzz. Hi, Don and Mike. Britney Spears says she wishes she had never banged Justin Timberlake.
She was a whore.
See, and she lied. A little lying bitch. Like, we all didn't know that she was spread eagle.
Yeah.
Waiting for his in sync.
Remember I holed up in those hotel rooms when they go on those vacations?
Mm-hmm.
And they
do?
But we just had room service.
Right.
Oh, and he would just, like, intimate that all they did was pet.
Pet. She tells the August issue of W Magazine, I've only slept with one person my whole life.
Right.
2 years into my relationship with Justin, I thought he was the one, but I was wrong. I didn't think he was going to go on Barbara Walters and sell me out. Brittany, who gets down to a G-string in the magazine, says the thing with Colin Farrell was just a crush.
She's a piece of ass, though. I just saw a picture of her recently, and she, you know, I'm more of a Christina Aguilera fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the whorish look. You know what? I'm coming around on that.
Britney's going more to that look, though, with the G-string poses in W Magazine.
I'm starting to come around on all Snaggletooth. The more I see that video,
Jewel,
intuition,
yeah.
Jewel's always been hot as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, but now she's really, in fact, she says she's doing it almost as a parody
right.
of the pop divas.
Right. Oh, you know who I saw a picture of in a magazine over the weekend and
that.
Who has really gotten hot? Bonnie Raitt. I'm sorry.
With her Bride of Frankenstein hair.
She sure seems good.
Of Colin Farrell, Brittany says, I kissed him. Of course I did. He's the cutest, hottest thing in the world. Woo. He's such a bad boy, but it was nothing serious. End quote.
And like he bangs him when they get, you know, when they get off a bus
walking the door.
The best thing about Bonnie Raitt is at the Grammy Awards, she couldn't get close enough to be on microphone to read her card because she was next to Aretha Franklin.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God. She's hot too.
Oh,
yeah,
baby. Knows how to treat a man.
I loved her at the Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
Mm. Find out what it means to me.
Mm-hmm. In sports, a sports writer has been fired in Roswell, New Mexico, for writing about a golf tournament and quoting a groundskeeper.
Trouble is, the sports writer was actually quoting the Bill Murray character from the movie Caddyshack. Nailed it.
That's funny.
And finally, we now know that it's legal in Germany, it is legal, to have sex while driving a car on a public highway at high speed.
Oh, right.
We found this out in the case of a young man who recently picked up a lovely blonde hitchhiker. Witnesses say she was straddling him as they ran into a signpost.
What do you think of that, Colonel Clint?
What a horrible thing to say.
Police were as surprised as anyone to see that there's no law against humping while driving, but they have fined the guy for hitting the sign. Does this mean you can do 69 in a 55?
Oh, God.
I'm the oh. And I'll be here all week on the Don and Mike show.
Thank you, buddy.
Funny pill like 5 minutes ago.
I've got one.
There you go. I've got one for the boys.
He was looking all day. He's looking forward to that.
All right, see you tomorrow with the all new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Rusty.
That was a dirty joke. Don't touch it.
Hey, you touch me all day. Why can't I touch you?
All right, see ya.
BM. Peter, Michael Savage.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, yeah. Be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.